hello, freaks. The fuck is going on out there in freak world? And you're like, hey, man, I'm not a freak. But you are. You really are. Everybody is. It's impossible to avoid. If you think you're not a freak, you're more likely a freak. If you think you're a freak, you're probably normal.
That's probably the truth.
If you're like, I don't fucking fit in, man, you are probably normal. But all you weirdos who think this makes sense, oh, fuck you. Fuck you all.
I'm not a freak.
Yes, you are. This episode of the Joe Rogan Experience podcast is brought to you by Squarespace. Listen, freaks, I know you need a website. Everybody does. I've been telling my fucking trainer about this shit for weeks. Like, oh my God, I gotta do it. Dude, Brian's done 100 of them while we've done the commercials. It's so fucking easy. Whoa. Squarespace lets you make a real professional looking website and do it so easily. And you don't even have to use your money to try it. It's a beautiful situation. What you do is you try it, you sign up, you test it, you enter in your information as far as like your name and all that jazz. Uh-huh. But you don't have to enter in your credit card information at all until you decide that you want to use it. So try it out. Create a website and then go, you know what? This is fucking easy. This is incredible. Bam, Shazam, Super Slam. And if you need Squarespace help, if you need help, they offer 24/7 super fast email support.
That's
and
awesome.
Live online chat support. Yeah, you can create really easy websites. You can use your own images. You can create an online store in minutes. You could easily sell music, digital downloads. Say if you're a band. And you decide, you know what, man, our band needs fucking a way to sell our music online. You can do that on Squarespace. Whoa. Why are you fucking around? Why are you glued to your couch, you fucking lazy bitch? Today, just for once in your goddamn life, do it. Just get up and be the person that you could be. Live to your fucking potential. Go make a fucking website. You can put together an events calendar, social media integrations. You can, you know, connect it to Twitter, Facebook, Tumblr. It also works on everything. It works on Android phones, works on Windows, works on a Mac, works on different browsers, which was always the big thing when you had a fucking website. Like some asshole has to try to break out like Netscape. You use your shit on Netscape and it comes out of boxes that are fucking stacked on top of each other. By the way, none of the websites created during the making of this podcast reflect reality. Tom does not like cock. He's a happily married man.
To a woman.
These are just jokes. His wife is here, okay? We have actual solid evidence that he likes women.
His beard is here.
Tom has butt sex in this house. And that is online right now. That's how easy it is to make a website with Squarespace.
Well, you know what? This is it. I'm walking off.
Come on.
So disrespectful.
My brother. Right. Easy, easy with that. Use the code word Joe and the number 10, and you will save 10%, 10 for the month of October. You will save 10% off your first purchase on new accounts, includes monthly and annual plans. We are very happy with Squarespace. We like them very much, and I cannot recommend them enough. I think it's a really fantastic resource if you want to create your own website. Go there, code Joe. And the number 10, all one word, Joe 10. We're also brought to you by Stamps.com. Stamps.com is a wonderful resource for sending things through the mail. Oh my goodness, is it so much better than going to the goddamn post office and making someone weigh your packages and shit. Like, let's just say you create a website with Squarespace, then you could fucking sell the shit that you make on Stamps.com. You print up your own U.S. postage. They provide you with a digital scale. If you use the offer code JRE, there's like an old-timey microphone up in the upper right-hand corner. You click on that and enter in the code word JRE. And when you do that, they'll give you a $110 special offer, which includes $55 of free postage and a free digital scale that you are not allowed to weigh mushrooms on. No, no, no.
It's a sweet scale, though.
No. Don't you do it. And don't try to send that shit through the mail. Seriously. If you do, don't use the postal service. That's a
federal crime.
Super illegal. What you need to do is hire someone who doesn't speak English and have them walk that shit there for you.
There you go.
Preferably somebody that just arrived.
And from a really, like, safe country, like Germany. Somewhere like, you know, you're not going to, like, red flag a German guy walking out. Moschkitz, Fostun, Nuschten. Like, this guy's fine.
Blonde hair.
He's probably just engineering or some shit. Stamps.com, use the code word JRE to get your $110 bonus offer. If you've ever seen any of those Death Squad Kitty Cat shirts that
Jonathan Taylor Thomas.
That Brian makes. Why do I call you John?
Because everyone calls me John. It's my real name.
No, I'm reading and talking at the same time. Those are all sent by this service. It's so simple. It's what Brian uses. I've talked to quite a few people that sell things and send them through the mail on stamps.com because the postman actually comes to your house, you give him the packages, and you're diggity diggity done.
That's what Tommy and Christine did to sell all their shit.
Absolutely.
We use stamps.com before they sponsored your mom's house.
We believe
in the product.
They do.
See this?
It's good. It really is good.
You guys sell a lot of shit through your mom's house, right? You're big on what was the one line?
The new one?
The one, the black guy that's yelling.
Bikes, yeah, the new bikes shirt. Yep.
Huge seller.
It's so cute watching them like work together too. Like you go home and they have like their whole little setup, and they share like turns. Like you know,
we'll talk about that in a minute. We'll talk about that in a minute because I do want to bring that up because it is
bikes
adorable.
Adorable.
Anyway, that's stamps.com. The code word's JRE, and use that and get yourself your $110 bonus offer. It's excellent product. Used by both Your Mom's House Podcast and DeathSquad.tv. We're also brought to you by Onnit.com. That's O-N-N-I-T. If you haven't been to Onnit in a while, we don't just have supplements anymore. We started calling the company a human optimization company. And this is a human optimization site. What we have is not just supplements, but we also have videos and there's blogs up and inspirational shit that Aubrey puts up. We're trying to sell things that we use. I'm trying to sell the things that I use as far as like strength and conditioning equipment, like kettlebells and battle ropes, all that stuff I use, ab wheels and all chin-up bars, all these things that promote functional strength, as well as all the different healthy supplements and foods that we eat. We're just trying to sell you the best shit possible for increasing human cognition, for recovering quicker, for keeping your body healthy, for strengthening your immune system. All of the above. That's Onnit.com, O-N-N-I-T, and use the code name Rogan. You will save 10% off any and all supplements. All right, you dirty bitches. Tom motherfucking Segura and Christina, her last name should be Segura. Boom. Hit the music, son.
The Joe Rogan Experience.
Train by day, Joe Rogan Podcast by night. All day.
Booyah. Booyah. Tom motherfucking Segura, Christina motherfucking Pazetsky. And December 31st, there's a big Death Squad show at the American Comedy Company.
Oh, snap.
In San Diego, California. And I know of at least one person who you can't even say his name. He's going to be there because he's not contractually allowed to, but he's fucking hilarious. So that's at least one that you know. We can't even tell you who's on this fucking show is what we're trying to say.
Yeah. Damn.
Some top secret shit. It's Halloween. There might be zombies.
I got my Halloween outfit also. It's badass.
What are you going to be, Bri?
A man.
My hat is a tip.
I'm sorry?
My hat is a tip.
I know what you're going to be. I know exactly what you're going to be.
Your hat is a tip.
Can I guess?
You're a dickhead?
Yeah. You're going to be a dolphin vagina.
Yeah. It's a dolphin with pubic hair.
This is a mess. In this right now. In this path of thinking and communication. Stop.
Brian.
What I was going to say is that you guys, when we were talking the commercials, you guys like are the only comedian couple that I know that where it actually works. That's why I hate generalizations. I hate generalizations. They drive me nuts. Because, you know, when someone says, well, you know, all these men are angry this, or all these women are angry that, or, you know, this is that, and that.
Yeah.
Well, comedians, they can never get along together. It just doesn't work. Two creative people, two people that think they're funny together, it's not going to work. And it never does. It's always like, either the girl's funnier than the guy, or the guy's funnier than the girl, and there's always this weird fucking resentment thing.
Yeah.
You guys are the only ones that I know that actually pull it off.
I know.
Where you're both funny.
What's up?
And you actually are like... you're really best friends.
We are.
On top of being married. Like for like, you have this air of, it's very different than the air of most couples, you know?
You think so?
Much different. Much different.
I think we enjoy each other. We enjoy each other's sense of humor. Legit, yeah.
Yeah.
And I think he's super talented and amazing.
But that's the weird thing about it. You both actually like each other.
We do.
Doesn't make any sense.
We support each other.
Trying to figure it out. I've been trying to. I'm studying guys for years. I'm like, there's something wrong here.
It is fun. I didn't realize it. And then a guy who's married to a comic, or was, I don't know anymore because I haven't seen him in a while. But he was like, "Hey man, he saw me at an audition. He's like, you get pissed like when Christina gets something and you don't get it."
That's
and
the best.
I go,
"That's
no,
super healthy." Yeah,
I don't.
That's all super healthy.
Like, he goes, that's my problem, man. I get super pissed when my wife gets something.
Whoa.
And I was like, wow.
Yeah, that's not good.
You need to go to a doctor.
Word.
But that's a natural reaction with a lot of people that have never thought about their thinking. A lot of people's thinking just operates on momentum. And, you know, you might say, oh, that guy's an asshole. And they might be an asshole in all respects because of the way they behave. Mm-hmm. But it's the past that get you onto thinking like that mm-hmm. are the real problem.
Right.
It's like a lot of people, when they do asshole-ish shit, while they're doing the asshole-ish shit, they're barely even aware that they're doing it.
Right.
They're just, blah, 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 blah. Mm-hmm. You know, they have something wrong with them, whatever it is, mm-hmm. emotionally, whatever is imbalanced, and it just comes out like that. But a lot of it is just like, How did you get to that? Like, how do you think about things? Like, what is your choice that you make? Like, when someone, jealousy. If you feel jealousy mm-hmm. that because your spouse got something, if you feel that,
mm-hmm.
like, you should repel that.
Right.
You should figure out what the fuck is wrong
with that.
Absolutely. And go, no. This should be inspiring. This should be wonderful. This should be fantastic.
Right.
Like, you, whatever it is that's trying to flare up its ugly green head, mm-hmm. you've got to learn how to suppress that. Some people never do.
Or explore why the feeling is there.
Yes.
Because usually when you're jealous of something someone else is doing, it's because you want that thing, and maybe you're not doing what you need to be doing.
Absolutely.
That's really what that is.
Absolutely. There's a lot of that for sure, but I think there's a few elements. I think there's also just a natural competitive element that a lot of people have to fight off, that they don't realize this person is not your enemy just because this person is winning. You know, this person is not your enemy because they're ahead of you in this race.
Sure.
It's like, that's just inspiration. That's just a person.
Right.
Like, if you decide to create a gang of enemies for mm-hmm. everybody that's... You can do it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah,
you can totally do it. Or you can have a gang of friends and just inspire each other. That's totally possible as well with the same group of people.
Yeah.
If everybody gets their shit together.
Yeah, we were just talking about kind of the atmosphere that you fostered by being supportive of other comedians. And that's actually very rare. I don't think a lot of people are secure enough.
But it's also indicative
to do that, and it's awesome.
Of what we're talking about is indicative of successful, truly successful people try to make other people, inspire other people to be successful. In other words, they're not afraid of bringing people along and trying to encourage their success.
Well, a lot of people are afraid of losing their gig.
Mm-hmm.
You know,
right.
A lot of people are afraid of someone bumping them out. But I've got a lot of gigs. I just keep doing different shit, you know? And if I didn't do any of these things, I'll find something else to do. There's a lot of shit out there to do, man. Like, if you get tripped up on what other people are doing, you're missing out on your own life.
Yeah, definitely.
Right.
You got to look at everybody who's doing something awesome and go, fuck yeah. That's what you got to do. You
mm-hmm.
got to go, that can help me. I see this motherfucker out there humping. When I find out about a guy like who's like a really hard worker, like a Daniel Tosh, who's like, you know, Daniel Tosh is like a super hard worker.
Yeah.
You know, I put it like, he and I had this conversation because he got accused of being a lazy writer.
Mm-hmm.
During that whole heckler thing, someone called him lazy because of that whole, you know, that whole heckler thing where some woman yelled out, rape is never funny.
Yeah.
And he goes, wouldn't it be funny if 5 guys raped her right now?
Yeah.
Which was really funny.
Rude. But I described that on stage. I'm like, that's actually the move. That's actually what you would do. Like, if you're a black belt in comedy, it's the equivalent to the counter to the overcommitted Kimura, the far side armbar. Like, if you're doing jiu-jitsu and a guy tries to commit to a Kimura, but he doesn't have control of his body, you spin around and you take the far side armbar.
Mm.
It's a standard move if you know jiu-jitsu. It's the black belt move. This is the black belt move in a comedy club.
Yes.
If someone says rape is never funny, like, oh, God, you sanctimonious, self-righteous fuckhead.
Yeah.
Is it?
Yeah.
I didn't know. I thought it was hilarious.
I thought it was, yeah.
Mm-hmm. How stupid are you? You're making a statement? That's so ridiculous. Of course it's never funny. But it's funny right there.
Right.
Because
right.
he just made it funny. It's not the actual rape, but the use of the word.
Sure.
Then he got accused of being lazy. That fucking guy is the least lazy person I know. He humps it.
When I go to, he doesn't go there as much anymore, but for a long time, every time I would go to Hermosa Beach,
yeah,
he used to live really close to the club. He would come in, and I'm saying, like, if I did five spots in a row there, he would have fucking five pages of notes and try new jokes every single set.
Yeah, he's always working, man. Always. Anybody could call that guy's a but my point was that I see a guy like that and I get totally fired up to work. I get fired up to create. Like, if when I see someone have a new set, like if a new guy comes in town, like Chappelle used to come to the store all the time and he would come and he'd watch him do like an hour and just, God, I want to go right.
Yeah.
You know, I just immediately want to go right. And that's a super important thing for artists. You know, you can really waste a lot of energy on that jealousy thing.
Oh,
it's
man.
Super easy to do. And here's the thing, though. It doesn't just waste time. It doesn't just waste thinking. Because it takes away from that time and that thinking from really good shit you could have been doing. You could have been busting your ass writing new jokes.
Yeah.
You could have been thinking about how to improve yourself. You could have been reading a book on, you know, accepting like a new empowering philosophy in your life. You could have been doing so many different things.
Yeah.
Instead of like tripping out about somebody else.
Yeah.
But you see it all the time.
It's all the time.
It's so, it's essentially, you know, it's like when people are like writing like these really critical blogs.
Mm-hmm. Oh, you know, it's like, that one makes me bananas.
Yeah, I mean, they're essentially doing the same thing.
Yeah.
They're essentially doing the same thing. Because nobody is writing like these super hypercritical blogs. Nobody knows people like happy. None of those people are successful.
No.
Yeah.
They're like these weird, they're in this weird limbo. I shouldn't say none of them. I said I hate generalizations and I made one.
It's okay.
I'm a hypocrite.
Well, it's kind of like, it's a little bit of that too exists in like,
disproportionate criticism.
Yeah. You know? But like almost like to go out of your way to like, you know, tag a YouTube video as, you know, how much you hate it. You're like, it's really not about that video. You know, it's about other things.
Well, sometimes it is though.
Well, yeah.
Sometimes it's about that video.
Sometimes it is. But sometimes it's not. Sometimes it's not.
It, the sheer volume of shit that's on the internet. Did you lose your power?
Yeah,
sound? Disconnect?
There we go.
There we go. Back. The sheer volume of shit that's on the internet now. Mm. I've been, you know, been writing this bit or been doing this bit on stage lately about the evolution of porn from when I was a child, but it's just it's hard for me to stop and think about a time where nothing came to you from the internet.
Right.
But I grew up in that time.
Right.
That was how I grew up.
Most of your life.
Most of my life. And so now when I look at it, It's just become this normal part of my everyday existence. But for kids, I can't imagine growing up with it. It's such a different world.
The amount of information they get. And actually, let's go back to this pornography thing, because we were just talking about that. Like the stuff that I saw first, like from the 80s, like Ron Jeremy, I grew up on Ron Jeremy, full bush. Like it was always playful scenarios. Like there's a forklift, let's hump on it.
Yeah.
And now I feel like it's so aggressive and it doesn't feel consensual and fun as it did in the 70s.
Well, there's
and
still
80s.
Some like, consensual and stuff, but the problem is the aggressive stuff is really popular.
Sells really well.
It's not the most popular thing, but it's so shocking that you focus on it.
I guess,
like you find it and you go, Jesus Christ, like some of these. I watched this Sasha Gray video.
Yeah.
It was just like this blowjob gangbang. And I was like, wow, where's a person's head at while all these different guys are just balls deep in her face.
Like throat fucking.
Very
throat fucking. And she's like telling him how much his ball stinks and asking him if he ever washes his fucking balls. And then she spits on his dick and just And it's like, God damn. Like this, that's a totally different thing than one of those 1980s Ron Jeremy, you know, softer era porn.
People, sounds like just good filmmaking right there. You know?
Yeah, I mean, those people back then were fucking. Yeah, they were having sex and everything. It was all that, but there's such a difference between that and like this thing they're doing now. Every guy is on like 15 pills of Viagra. Their dicks are crowbars. I mean, their dicks never go limp, and they just stick it everywhere
never
in your
soft.
Fucking mouth and your fucking.
I did.
That's what I'm saying. It doesn't, and it felt like the Nina Hartleys back then. That those women were like, I love sex. I'm pro sex, and let's make these movies.
What do you think that is?
What is
it like that? Like, what do you think?
What was it like, or why
well,
is it
what
now?
Do you think? Why did that become a genre? Like, when it didn't exist initially, why is it a genre now?
The what aggression is, thing?
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Because it's a part of humanity that needs to be expressed, and now it is, and it's, like you said, there's a bit of a taboo attached, maybe. I don't know, and,
yeah, I
and
think
that
that's
draws eyeballs.
A lot of it, right?
It does. It has changed. I remember I did a joke about it on my Thrilled CD about 80s porn, and then a porn star heard it and wrote to me from the 80s, and she was like, yeah, when we did porn back then, it was like we were like a fam, not, you know, incestuous, right. But like, it was like we all did it, and we, you know, you were buddies with like the sound guy, like almost like, what's that fucking movie? The Dirk Diggler, Boogie Nights.
Yeah.
Like everybody knew each other.
Yeah.
And it was like, you knew that camp real well. And I think it was probably a lot fewer people doing it because there's no, you know, you released it on film at that point, you know, like,
yeah.
And then now it's like, hold up your, you know, handheld camera.
Yeah.
They shoot fucking 1,000 scenes a day, and everybody knows you can put it online, and you gotta tap into a market, right? So
right.
There's different genres, and it's all about just creating as much content as possible and hitting every realm of sexuality that you can't even imagine.
There's not even porn stars anymore. If you, like back in the day, everyone had their porn stars, like their Jenna Jameson and stuff. Like nowadays, though, there's so many girls doing it because of, like, you know, cam sites and stuff like that, that it seems like it's just diluted the whole entire waters of...
And the tube sites have been crushing that business,
from
what I understand. You know?
Well, it's funny because that business is a legit business. It was making billions of dollars a year. It was totally legal. And yet... when the economy collapsed and the internet came along and sucked porn dry, like, you know, literally, like, porn's dead. Like, as far as, like, the amount of money those guys used to make producing it, I mean, they used to sell DVDs.
Yeah.
The DVDs would sell a lot.
And, like, $50 DVDs, right? It was, like, expensive.
Yeah, that business still exists to a certain extent, but a lot of it is evaporated. And because it's evaporated, you know, it's the business is, you know, it's been hit hard. But nobody ever thinks about bailing out the porn business. That is the last thing the government would ever do.
Yeah.
I mean, if you think about, like, you're trying to protect the economy and different businesses are, you know, critical to the economy.
Yes.
Porn might be critical to the economy.
To Americans, definitely.
Definitely.
But why the multiple dick thing? Why? Like, I need
to. I'm with it to a point.
Yeah, like the aggression. And maybe it has something to do about, are we repressing aggression in society? And is that why it's coming out?
Well, we definitely are doing that. Especially if people don't exercise.
There you go.
We're definitely doing that. Because we're moving towards an era where it won't be necessary anymore. Where aggression won't be necessary anymore. I really believe that. I think that that's ultimately what's... the reason why people are avoiding, they abhor violence, and why they hate, you know, all the evil aspects of life, like war. The reason why all that is because I think the human mind as a whole recognizes that it's operating on some really old ideas that it doesn't need to do anymore. And eventually we're going to move towards a point where there's some sort of complete consolidation of the human race as far as like our ability to communicate with each other. Ability to, I think we're moving towards like this time of not doing all that stuff. I think it's pretty clear.
I know. Can I tell you though? I mean, have you done the Middle East?
No, yeah. I'm not going over there.
I know. See, and that reaction is right.
Yeah.
Because I've been there like 2 times, and part of me goes, I sure hope the human race gets it together and we can communicate. And then you go, some cultures are so incompatible with our Western way of being.
Yeah.
Like, will we ever be able to?
I think the internet's going to open all that shit up. I really do. I think it's only a matter of time. I think you can't hold it back for more than a generation or two. I think eventually it's just going to overwhelm it.
Right. The places that it's being kind of repressed now will eventually...
Yeah.
You can't stop it.
Well, you know what you're not going to be able to stop? The death of religion.
Never.
You're not going to stop it.
That is a fundamental human need. To want something bigger than yourself, to fear death so much that you need that.
Yeah, I was actually saying
no,
that you're
saying
not going to stop the
death
of
religion.
That it won't exist in the future.
Oh, right.
Right. You don't agree with it.
Well,
you think it's always going to be...
I don't know if humans will... The thing is that humans are fundamentally afraid of... They're afraid of dying, right? There's the death drive and the sex drive, as Freud said.
Yeah.
And I think that humans are so afraid of the unknown, of the part we don't know, and then that's a great comfort. And it's existed since we've existed.
Yeah, it'll always exist.
God.
But I think that's just the sense of wonder, and also the knowledge that we're finite. You know, that freaks us out.
That's terrifying.
So in a sense, I agree with you, and definitely in the sense that people replace it. So if it's not going to be God, then it's going to be like spirituality and yoga.
Yeah, you that's know, what like, I am. That's where
find
I'm
my
at.
Center. I just feel the oneness of the universe. Or if you've done mushrooms, you go, oh, okay.
Yes.
Okay, this might get real weird.
Yeah, because I think that New Age Oprah stuff is replacing traditional religion.
It would be all replaced by mushrooms if they were legal.
Yeah.
All those dummies would be out of business. Deepak Chopra, out of business.
Just from shrooms?
All of them. Fuck yeah. The philosophy of the world would change.
We were talking about...
Illegal? Legal, rather?
I think you get a totally different perspective on religion when you live in an era where a new religion... finds great success.
Yeah.
You get to see, like, seeing Scientology, you know, I wasn't there for, like, the actual inception of it, but, like, seeing how it has progressed and grown and seeing everybody's views towards it, you have to imagine that there's a lot of parallels for what, how you ever you view that. And yeah. if you go back 2,000 years and seeing Christianity evolve,
absolutely.
It's got to be very similar.
Oh
absolutely, except you know? The distribution of information is much freer.
It's much freer.
Back
yeah.
then, wow. it was much more secretive. And, you know, when Constantine and all those bishops got together and created the New
yeah.
Testament, you know, they got to decide. People got to decide what stays in, what goes out.
Yeah.
You know, they
so
got to decide crazy. What they put in and say, it's just, come on.
But it makes you want, like, when you go, because you hear a lot of, you know, people obviously be hypercritical of Scientology, and you go, this is absurd. You know, they criticize yeah. everything about it. And you go, well, if you go back, you know, how
right,
is your
right.
thing more valuable?
The Catholic Church
right.
was tithing people.
You're talking
well,
about angels yeah. and saints,
right.
you know, and Immaculate Conception. And right. like, well, you're like, yeah, but that's we've been doing that for a couple thousand years.
Yeah,
that's the only
true.
Argument is that it's way older.
But
there's a new scholar that claims or a new published work by the scholar that claims that Jesus was a creation. And that the Romans made him up as a hoax.
What?
Yeah. Hmm. He's the author of a book entitled Caesar's Messiah, The Roman Conspiracy to Invent Jesus. It asserts that Christianity did not begin as a religion, but was actually a sophisticated government propaganda exercise used to pacify subjects of the Roman Empire.
Hmm.
His take on Jesus is not new, apparently. In 1844, Karl Marx famously declared religion as the opiate of the masses. Hmm. History is filled with skeptics, mm. blah, 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 blah. It's based on what he described as an important revealing parallels between a first-person account of first-century Judea, which was an ancient Roman province known now a part of Israel and Palestine, and the New Testament. Sequence of events, locations, and Jesus' ministry are more or less the same as the sequence of events and locations of the military campaign of Emperor Titus Flavius.
Hmm.
As described by Josephus, Atwill wrote in a blog on his website. Isn't it cool that they were like Josephus?
That would have been your name.
That would have been my name. Yeah. Or it would be your name if you live in like Virginia.
Right. This right. is Josephus.
Yeah, okay,
Josephus thanks. Makes the moonshine. There's moonshine you can buy at the store, but that's bullshit.
Aztec.
You want to get it from Josephus. We got to use hickory wood. If you don't use hickory wood, you ain't making good moonshine. I like a little peach sometimes, a little peach wood. Peach of hardwood. Peach of hardwood.
Tickling popcorn and Josephus will get you what you need.
You'll take yeah. it as his own show now.
So who knows whether or not this guy's right.
Show.
But it makes sense. It makes sense what you're saying. That, yeah, when you see like something like Scientology
right.
in our lifetime you where go, you know, oh, it's L. Ron Hubbard.
Yeah.
That guy
right.
lived. There's
yeah.
photos of him. There he is. That's the
yeah.
guy. And then you read the other shit that he wrote and you go, hold on a minute.
yeah.
Hold on a minute. This wait, no way.
You like, mean I, like anyone can start one of these?
I got a Dianetics book in the mail. I ordered it because when I first moved to California, I was, you know, watching TV late at night.
Yeah.
You know, it's like first time living out here, and I didn't know anybody. So I spent a lot of time watching TV, and there was an ad for Dianetics. Improve mm-hmm. you. I'm like, damn, I gotta get some Dianetics. Improve my fucking life. I didn't know Dianetics was Scientology. So, you know, I buy the book, and
mm-hmm.
it comes to my house, and I'm like, I leaf through it a little bit. It seems interesting ideas they have, and these motherfuckers never stopped trying to get me to join.
Really?
They send you these things in the mail. They would send you these things in the mail constantly, like some new thing and some new offer, and come down here and get a personality test. And they're like very diligent.
Relentless. Yeah.
They're very diligent.
Yeah.
They, you know, and someone who, you know, is this 94, someone who would buy one of those books because trying to get your shit together, those are the type of people that you would really want to target, you know? That's
sure.
if you want to have a nice group of people that you can control.
Yeah. No kidding. The vulnerable when you're at your lowest, right?
I was in San Diego filming a show, and there was a right by where we were filming, there was one of those personality tests, mm-hmm. stress test, mm-hmm. and an E-meter. And I went over there and I took it. You know, the guy sat down. It was interesting because I got a nice read from him. The guy was like in his 50s. He had no idea who the fuck I was.
Yeah.
So it was perfect.
Yeah.
So I sat down with the guy. You know, there wasn't any weirdness. You know, like, yeah. hey, is Fear yeah. Factor coming back?
Yeah.
It was yeah. just some old dude who had no idea. What do you do? And I forgot what I told him. I don't think I told him the truth.
Yeah.
Or I told him a version of the truth.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm holding these things. He's asking me questions about, like, my childhood. Like, yeah. did you ever have a cat that died? Like, shit like that. And I'm like, this is hilarious. And I'm like, what happens? These tubes are telling you what? What are they telling you? And there's, like, a reading that goes through these
cans.
You're holding on to cans. They're like coffee cans.
And he's on the other end of them?
There's a wire. It's attached to a machine.
What?
It's supposed to read your stress.
Whoa.
Yeah, and from that, they can sort of give an assessment of, you know, and then they prescribe Scientology.
Yeah, because aren't they called, nice. Like, engrams or something where...
I don't understand it.
You're scarred from certain moments of your life, and then they go back and try to undo the scarring.
Yes.
Yeah.
Did he tell you what was wrong with you, though? Was he like, here's what
yeah,
you...
Yeah, what was wrong with you?
Oh, it was pretty normal, he said.
Oh.
Said I could use Scientology, though.
Yeah.
Of course. You can always use it.
Assessment.
Well, you know, I think the deal with, like, Scientology or anything where a lot of successful people are a part of it, though, like John Travolta and Tom Cruise, and Tom Cruise especially is a very ultra-successful movie star and obviously a very driven guy. So you see him being a part of something like that, and you go, oh, well, this is obviously doing this guy, like, a lot of good. He's super confident, and he's, like, really positive and
so positive.
Radiant with his smile. And you're like, yeah. well, this if it works for this guy.
He's so fired up.
Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, if it works for him, like, yeah. maybe it's not so bad. Because you don't see, like, any Mormons that are, like, super ultra pumped to
Never.
Be a fucking Mormon.
No.
They keep that
right.
shit kind of on the DL.
Mm-mm. Nobody's you know? Excited to be Mormon.
It's sketchy.
Yeah.
Like, when you
or
know
Amish.
That when Fuckhead was running for president, when Romney was running for president, and it came out that not was he just Mormon, but he was from a sect that broke away from the United States because they wanted polygamy. So they set up a compound in Mexico.
Yeah. Yeah.
Everybody's like, dude, that's a wrap.
Yeah, yeah. done.
That you take care. Oh, 40, and then the 47% comment too.
Oh, right, right,
people
right.
that are not going to vote for him
yeah,
anyway.
Yeah, that's awesome.
Yeah, those two things were big. That you can't, your dad was born in Mexico. His dad was born in Mexico. That's why his dad could never be president. That's why he was running for president. He was born in America. His dad is a Mexican, like from Mexico because of Mormonism. Because
yeah.
they all moved down to Mexico. They denounced U.S. citizenship.
Wow.
So they could fucking set up a compound where they could just ball.
Yeah.
They just wanted 8-9 wives. They wanted to not be locked
so
up
so un-American.
Yeah.
Can I tell you, I love that show. Have you ever seen? I don't watch it frequently. What is this? The Mormon show with all the wives. Sister Wives.
Oh, the HBO show. I don't think it's on anymore.
No.
You're talking about a reality show?
It's on TLC, yeah.
Oh, it's a reality show.
Because I don't know if you've seen The Wives, but my favorite part of the show is that you know this guy was like, this is going to be awesome. I'm going to get 5 hot-ass chicks. We're going to be doing orgies. And they're all so fat and out of shape. Like, they're
sister pigs.
Of course.
No competition.
Right. Yeah, they're the pigs. And it's so great because, like, it's totally the opposite of what he wanted because they pump out kids every year.
Right.
And of course, like,
how do you know that's what he wanted?
I imagine because you know why? Because he gets a younger, a hotter model. Like every 5 years, they allow him to get like
a
20-some-year-old
yeah.
and then
really?
She balloons
right.
over the course.
So they start
of, like,
the pretty good looking.
Years. Yeah.
Those other girls are probably poisoning while she sleeps.
For sure.
They want to keep her fat.
For sure.
Yeah, right.
I think Vice did, at least on their YouTube channel, I think they did a profile on Romney's Mexican
past.
Yeah, and
yeah,
like,
oh, they definitely did.
Yeah,
because Shane Smith came on the show and told us about it.
It's pretty awesome. What they did was awesome.
Yeah, well, they're badass.
Yeah, they're badass.
Yeah.
Vice is gangster. They go everywhere.
Yeah.
They're what the journalism world has been needing for a long time.
Yeah,
like they're and you know they get a lot of heat. They get a lot of heat from the New York Times. They got a lot of heat from legit journalists that like somehow or another didn't think that their work was up to standard.
Mm-hmm.
look, you guys are being silly bitches. They had introduced a lot of people to a lot of really crazy shit that maybe they wouldn't have known about, and they cover everything.
From They're informing them.
The garbage patch in the middle of the Pacific to what's going on in North Korea. I mean, they went to North Korea and fucking hung out with everybody and ate dinner, and they were traveling around in North Korea filming these things.
I remember. It was awesome. Yeah, North Korea was awesome.
They give zero fucks. Yeah. That Shane Smith is a bad motherfucker. He goes to Africa and hangs out with the cannibals.
Yeah.
He's hanging out with the Liberian cannibals. The guy's talking to him about eating babies. How he's killed the innocent children of the enemy and eats their heart and drink their blood because it makes him invincible. General Buck Naked. This guy used to fight naked. They called him General Buck Naked.
Whoa.
He's killed thousands of people, and he got away with it because he became a Christian. Mm. So when he became a Christian, they absolved him of his crimes.
Yeah, wow. Lucky, yeah.
Yeah, fascinating.
Neat how that works.
Vice was right there, man. Right there covered that. Fascinating shit.
They were, and they were in North Korea. They did an awesome profile of North Korea before Kim Jong-il died.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And, like, seeing how they got in and, like, the reality of, like, being in the capital city in Pyongyang and, like, the way the hotel, like, everybody was, like, basically, you felt like they were just being watched. They were being spied on by everybody. And what they were, like, you know, they brought them the food. And he said that, you know what I mean? Like, to...
Yeah.
Like, lay out the red carpet for them, but it was basically all unedible, I think he said. Like, it wasn't good stuff. And then they took everything away. Nobody else was eating. But
there was no one else in the restaurant.
No one else
there. They pretended it was a restaurant.
Right.
But it wasn't a restaurant. They just set it up.
Yeah.
They set up where they were going to cook for them and made it look like a restaurant.
Yeah.
Yeah, there was no one else there. And they just did it. Look, we live a good life over here.
The movie studio, and they're like... done like the, the Kim Jong-il's directed like 800 movies and stuff, but he consulted on 13,000, and he was like, wow, that's a lot of movies. He's like, yeah, he's amazing.
Consulted on 13,000 movies.
There's one Lisa Ling did ages ago. It's on Netflix. I watched that a while back, and some guy escaped who worked in the guard tower. Did you ever see this? He got out of North Korea, and he's like, the minute I got under a fence, the guy that he was with got trapped under the fence and died immediately, was electrocuted to death. And he goes, the minute I knew I got out of North Korea, I knew that I had signed my family's death warrant. Because now they go after your family. They put them in that, what's that, their area? What is it? Like,
it's the camp slave 14 camp in the middle, whatever.
Yeah, and he's like, I fucked over my entire family. I mean, how do you deal with that kind of a guilt? I don't know.
Wow.
Yeah.
Yeah, if there's the big argument. If the United States was really trying to, like, clean up evil in the world,
right,
that's the spot we hit.
For
the
sure.
The problem is they're poor as fuck. Yeah. They're poor as fuck.
And if
they were really trying to liberate, a lot of them are brainwashed, right. It's bad.
Mm-hmm. I mean, what are you going to do with them, you know?
Well, you would have to fucking free these people, first of all, and then you would have to slowly sort of re-indoctrinate them to the idea of freedom. What they're in one of the last great dictatorships, and it's 2013 with the internet and everything, and with your neighbor to the south who used to be connected to you, used to be your former countrymen, are banging out cell phones and TVs and fucking massive electronics and cars and constructed things, and all you bitches have your lights out at night because you can't keep your electricity on. Like, if you wanted to see what works and what doesn't work as far as happiness and a good population, you need to look no further than South Korea and North Korea.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
There's the difference between living in a dictatorship and living in a democracy in the same country, the same patch of land.
Yeah.
I mean, you can't control people. They don't like it. It doesn't work. And it's sort of what we were talking about earlier, about, like, the ideas of being generous and helping and loving, or being a fucking weirdo who's trying to control everything.
Yeah.
It applies to people. It applies to governments. It applies to everything.
Yeah. Absolutely, right? You can't build walls to keep people in and out. Look what happened in East and West Germany. The same goes building walls to keep Mexicans out. It doesn't work.
Well, it does work. That's why there's a Mexico, and that's why there's the United States.
But
the question is it a good idea?
Right.
It doesn't work totally. You know, it doesn't work 100% of the time, but it probably works 90% of the time. You know, if it was wide open, there'd probably be no one in Mexico. That shit would empty out so quick.
Yeah.
It would
be. Do you think, really?
Oh, my goodness. With the quickness, son.
Oh, my God.
The United States would double in population in a week.
Yeah.
Well, we got a lot of room in the Midwest, don't we?
Well, there's people that would love. I mean, there's parts of Mexico that people love. You know, there's a lot of people live in Mexico City. They love it.
People would come up here.
Angel lives in Mexico.
Yep, Cancun. He loves it. Yeah. She loves it.
Yeah, it's awesome.
He loves it.
He loves it. I would. I think that
I was trying to be like politically correct. Of course, backfired.
I know,
yeah.
I know.
The economy, though, people would come here to make money. You know, that's why people would come.
Yeah, the economy, and also the I see both sides of it. I see the logic in controlling our economy and not allowing people in because it allows you to maintain at least one area and try to keep it viable. But the idea that somebody should be locked out just because they shit out of luck and were born in some terrible impoverished town in Mexico,
yeah,
and that they can't ever get out of there and come up to where it's awesome.
Yeah.
That seems to me like the only reason why that would exist is because we as humans think that the idea of managing the whole world is just too daunting a task. So we have to block it off in little chunks, apply philosophies in those chunks, and then enforce the borders. Because like we're not ready to combine. We're not ready to combine yet. Because if you're ready to combine, the number one thing you got to do is you got to fix the poor spots.
You have to fix the poor spots. But yeah, don't you feel like one day we'll have a universal citizenship? It won't be about this nation versus that. It'll be passports will be a thing of the past.
It's possible.
Yeah, man.
We would have to get over a lot of shit, though. And we'd have to like strengthen impoverished areas. There's got to be a lot of money in rebuilding shitty neighborhoods, just like there's a lot of money in rebuilding things they blow up in Iraq.
Yeah, I was just going to say, look at Iraq. Yeah. I don't know if it's a success or not.
We just need to get Halliburton involved in community centers.
That's a great idea.
If Halliburton got involved in community centers, just rebuild Detroit. Oh my God, the contracts would be billions.
Yeah.
The jobs would be intense.
Absolutely.
It'd be amazing.
Right now, yeah. That'd be amazing. Flint and Detroit.
Yeah.
I mean, I don't understand why it's okay to build shit on other parts of the world that we blow up, but not build shit that just fell apart on its own over here.
I agree.
We were in Detroit for that sci-fi show, and we went to...
I saw that one.
We went to Zug Island and we went around that area, and wow, it's depressing, man.
Yeah,
it's very... You can buy a house for $100. I'm not kidding.
I know.
Yeah, I saw that because, you know, the government just gave or loaned, I don't know, which one of the two, Detroit, a lot of money.
Yeah. So, it needs it.
Yeah, and they're saying that, like, I mean, this is like a little thing, but like 40% of light posts, you know, at night don't work in Detroit, in the greater metropolitan area.
It makes sense.
The average response time to a 911 call is 58 minutes.
Mm. Oh, my God.
So that means, you know, fire, ambulance.
Oh, my God.
It's a long fucking time.
Yeah.
That sucks.
For an average.
For an average, right.
And what's really incredible is that town was created basically on the business that was like one of the best businesses for the United States ever.
Yeah.
The automotive business.
Yeah.
Dude.
At one point in time, they were rocking. Like my friend Justin was on the podcast, and he worked in the Ford factory.
My dad worked in the Chrysler factory.
Yeah, and it was, you know, people could make a good living.
Yeah.
And they could support a family, and they churned out these cars.
Yeah, but then when, remember when like when they all had the bailout for the auto companies? The big thing was that I think those guys overextended themselves with the offers of their benefits, because the whole thing was like, I think it was 20 or 30 years. I think maybe it was 30 years.
Yeah.
And then you got like full, you know, incredible benefits.
Right.
And so you had essentially a lot of people that could retire at 50.
Right.
And that's what one of the main things of why, you know,
so that's why they were losing money, because they had to pay these guys?
Well, eventually, I mean, you know, the automotive industry became more competitive, so they're not as dominant. And but then, yeah, one of the things that they said was a problem was that you have people who are essentially entitled to full benefits at 50 years old.
Yeah, Justin was also saying that there was also jobs where it required you to use two people. That was the union contract, but they didn't really need to use two people. Mm. So you would have like 2-hour shifts. Like you would come in for 2 hours and do it, and then you could go leave and do whatever the fuck you want, and another guy would come in for 2 hours, and you did two shifts a day, and you each did two shifts a day. And that's what you got paid for a full job. And it's just because of the greed of these auto workers, the unions, rather.
Yeah, the unions, yeah.
And then, you know, there's also another problem was they made a bunch of shitty fucking cars. And that's not the auto workers' problem. Mm. That's the design problem and the engineers' problems. But goddamn, the United States made some terrible cars in the 80s.
Yeah.
I mean, they fucked up everything. They fucked up the Mustang. They fucked up the Corvette. They fucked up the Camaro. Mm-hmm. They fucked up all the greatest cars that the United States has ever
produced,
built.
Yeah.
Fucked them all up completely.
You mean like the designs?
They were dog shit. the late 80s and the early 90s, they were dog shit. They were the stupidest looking, ugliest fucking cars. It's like they were trying to tank it on purpose.
Yeah.
You go back in time and you look at a 1969 Mustang Fastback.
Yeah.
Look at like a GT500 from 1969. Those cars were a masterpiece. The lines on them, the appeal of them, just look at them, just like artistically, they had this appeal to them. And then they tried to make cars more gas friendly because the gas prices went up because they had the fake gas shortage where they fucked everybody and we ran out of gas, psych.
Right. You know?
Then they just, from that point on, they all just went to shit. They couldn't have those big V8s anymore because they only got 8 miles a gallon. So instead, they started making these stupid six-cylinder Mustangs. It just looked like dog shit.
And the big thing now is that what gave a big boost, at least, you know, like to Dodge, was that they went to a throwback. It was like, these look like the old designs, like the Dodge Challenger.
The Challenger's rad.
The Challenger really looks like an old one, but the Camaro looks like a new car. I mean, it's like they didn't. It's got kind of a retro hot rod kind of a look.
Yeah,
to it.
It does, but it's still new.
Yeah,
yeah, it looks badass.
They had a new. They have a new Trans Am. A Camaro Trans Am. And
can you still get the Falcon or the
not
Phoenix
Trans Am?
On
I mean Z28. The Trans Am was the Firebird. Z28,
Firebird.
And the Z28, the new Camaro, is faster around a racetrack than a Porsche.
Really?
Because weren't you in the car?
Yeah,
when we
were
playing the video.
Yes.
The sound of it. Oh my God! It's fucking.
Was that the one that you can make the sound of?
Not as good.
I do a terrible idea.
I love your sounds. I saw them on Vine.
Appreciate it very
much.
Really good.
Check really out. Good.
Well,
I was
Brian
really
Callen.
Check out Brian Callen.
Whatever reason, likes hear me do animal noises.
I love your animal noises. I was so impressed. Your dog is impeccable.
The bear. The bear is layered.
Yeah.
The noise is perfect.
Yeah.
And so is the lip quivering.
Yeah.
I don't know what's wrong with me.
Yeah.
It's really good.
It's really good.
I really don't know what's wrong with me. I can only do a few. I would never say I was an impressionist because I can't do a lot of impressions. Like my voice range is not that good. But if it falls in my range, I can do it.
Alex Jones, you do it really
well. I can do that guy.
And you can do Diaz well.
I could do Diaz. Those guys are in my range. They're shouty, loudy guys.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah. Very good.
I could do some people. But it has to, you couldn't say, hey, do Justin Bieber.
Yeah.
No.
Did you see that fucking video? This is the Z28. That's the car.
Is that Jay Leno?
Yeah, Jay Leno's a car fiend.
That's his garage in Burbank.
They took this, that's not the Z28. They took this Z28 and they took out everything, all the navigation, radio, only has one speaker to let you know that the door goes ding, ding, ding. They took out all that shit to make it super light and put in a 500 horsepower naturally aspirated engine.
He's got denim on denim on, Jay Leno.
He always has denim on.
That's how he rocks it. Yeah. He's not growing up. He's a Toys R Us kid.
Good for
Listen
him.
To this thing.
High-end parts like the Brembo carbon ceramics and so on. It's going to be more of this.
You hear that? That makes guys' balls tingle.
This is funny. It's the first time this car's out on the public street, I'm sure, at least in California.
Look at that thing.
We're getting thumbs up and times going, hey, wait a minute.
It's Malibu Canyon Road right there.
That's because it's you, Jay. It's not for the car.
That is a wicked car, though. As far as American cars go, that car is wicked.
What do you think? Should we go with?
It's a nice car.
How much does that cost?
It's not that much. As far as like the kind of performance, I think it's probably going to be around 60 grand. Let's find out. New
I'd
Z28.
Like that. I mean,
it black. The bargains are the Z28 and the Corvette. They have a new Corvette now that's fucking incredible.
Yes. The fucking new Corvette is crazy.
Oh, it's amazing.
And the price is pretty amazing.
How
for
much
what
is
you
the
get.
New Corvette?
It's like 60.
68, I think. They had it on
the Stingray Z51?
Well, they have
the
different.
The Z28. Is the Stingray is the new the Stingray is the new Corvette price. The Stingray is incredible. Have you seen that?
Yeah.
Go to the see if you pull up Matt Farah, that dude who was on the podcast, the Smoking Gun.
Here's there's that.
Look like when I was a kid. Corvette.
I like the bra on the car.
It looks so cool.
Wow! Look at that.
Look at that.
Do you have to put a bra on it, though?
No, those are done. They don't do those anymore.
Why didn't they do a bra?
People have clear bras now. What? There's a clear sheet that keeps the chips. Oh. It was to avoid paint chips from rocks.
That's why people wrap their cars nowadays.
Look at this thing.
Sounds like you behind the wheel.
Yeah, buddy.
The first thing you're struck by is how light and nimble this car is.
Look at the seats, man.
You know what? Even each generation of the Corvette, it seems to get a little bit lighter, a little bit smaller, a little more agile. And this one really feels like the best one yet.
It's a sick car. I just love that America's finally figured out how to make cars that don't suck a fat one. For the longest time, they were dog shit. I got a Ford Mustang just because I knew that Mustang didn't take money from the government. They didn't take a bailout. So I was thinking about getting, I wanted to get some sort of American hot rod. So I got a GT500.
Oh, I remember that.
That's why I got it. I got it because of the fact, and because it's just, it's pretty badass.
Yeah.
They figured out how to make fun cars again.
Yeah.
They figured
out. Is that a Shelby?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Those things are fucking
awesome. That rumble too when you start that up.
It's very manly.
Yeah.
This is even more manly though, I think. The Z28. I might have to purchase one of these motherfuckers.
That's what I'm saying. That's what I'm saying.
I want to support, honestly, like no bullshit. I really do want to support American car companies that are making cars like this.
That's great.
Are they making them in America, though? God, I hope so.
Volkswagen.
I hope they don't give them to no other peoples.
We have a lot of Volkswagen.
Volkswagen just went to now in Mexico.
That doesn't seem like German to me.
Don't we have foreign, though, plants here for, like, doesn't Porsche make some Porsches in Alabama?
That's a good question. I don't know.
BMW in South Carolina.
I know Honda does. I don't know. But I would imagine that other companies do as well.
Yeah, I think Porsche is in Alabama.
I wonder if that's so like weird. Because it's good. Easier to build the cars over here instead of shipping them. You know, like whatever it would cost you to ship them, you could probably make them over here with the same engineering.
Too expensive.
It's all robots.
Ship.
Yeah, there's a lot of it is, right? It's all automated.
Yeah.
That also killed a lot of jobs.
Yeah.
Because everything, a lot of it is automated.
Yeah.
But the precision that you can get in automation is, you know, pretty goddamn amazing.
Yeah, yeah.
We could print out a car pretty soon.
I bet you're right.
I know.
Dude, there's no bullshit, man. It's going to come. I think there's going to come a time where going to the store and buying things, people are just going to laugh at you.
Right.
Oh, my God, you guys used to buy shit? That's so stupid. They're going to be able to just put... Like, you're going to have a printer at home, and you're going to keep ingredients in it. Carbon, silica, this, that, the other, various metals. And then you're going to say, you know, build me a fucking TV, bitch.
So
and you enter in your credits for the design for the TV, and you get on your iTunes account, it charges you for the design for the TV. That's what you pay, like a design license fee.
Mm-hmm.
And then you have to pay for the materials. And then I think everything will be, like, way cheaper. Except the machine. The machine's going to be a motherfucker.
Yes.
But it'll be just like cell phones. When cell phones first came out, no one had them. You know?
No.
They were super rare. Now, you go to any place in the world, people have cell phones. Yeah. I was in Brazil, and, you know, it was in 2003, everyone had a cell phone.
Really?
People have cell phones. They're everywhere. And it used to be, like, prohibitively expensive for poor people.
Do they have the backpack thing where you have to put the phone?
I remember that.
They have regular
What's up, player?
Yeah.
Little Android phones and iPhones and shit.
Remember car everywhere. Phones?
Oh, yeah. I actually like that.
Yeah. I had one. I had one installed in my car in 89.
Those were dope.
I would like to have one of those again, just the clip-in.
Yeah, it was nice.
Yeah.
It's nice, right in the center console.
Yeah, it was a cool thing to have. Like, you would you'd be on the phone, hello. I'm driving right now.
Yeah.
Like it was impossible.
No fucking way.
Nobody believed it.
What?
No. But you would have roaming charges everywhere.
Oh, is that right? I didn't even know
that
happened.
Oh, my God. You were only allowed to use it. When I had it, you were only allowed to use it in Boston itself. And when I would go outside of Boston, I would enter into a roaming area. And the roaming areas would be ridiculous.
Mm.
It would be like, you know, $1 a minute, $1.95 a minute or something like that. And it was just a few hours from your house. It's not like today, you know, it got real competitive, and today you could go anywhere and your phone works everywhere. If you go internationally, you got to pay rates that are different because they have to use their service, but in the United States, it's essentially wherever the fuck you go, you're all right.
So crazy.
But I was in Western Massachusetts, just 2 hours from my house, and it was roaming.
Oh.
Just you had like a really little area. Like even in Massachusetts, you
and
it's
had a
roaming.
Mobile phone.
Yeah. What was that bill like?
It was stupid. It was unbelievable, and I had no money back then. I was like, oh God.
Yeah.
Dude, do you realize I didn't have a cell phone until I graduated from college and entered the workforce? like just thinking about being 16 years old, waving goodbye to my dad, getting into my 87 Chevy Nova and just taking off for the night. And my dad not knowing where I was, when I was, I didn't have a page or nothing. And I would just, you know, come back at 2 in the morning. Yeah.
You were shooting porn.
I was shooting porn. I was doing H.
Yep.
I was stripping.
Smack.
Can you believe that?
No, I know. You didn't. That's the thing
you didn't even
look
have
at
to...
this. This guy's got one. What's up, man?
What?
Look at that. Holy shit.
Transportable cellular telephone.
I bet the battery's better than your iPhone.
Oh, it's massive. Look at that thing.
It's
that a fucking phone?
Yes, Bill Gates. About the merger. 500 shares. The
affordable transportable. The dad takes the phone. Son, don't you do it. That's a cockblock video. That's what that is. Sophisticated cockblocker. Dad's a hater. Kid's smarter than him. He's got his big stupid phone. The kid's on a little laptop. Meanwhile, it's like 1918. When did they invent laptops?
Oh my god!
The kid had a laptop. Oh, what the fuck was that thing in his lap? So the typewriter.
I think it was one of those word processors. Remember those word processors?
Hewlett Packard.
Yeah, it's trying to let you know geniuses are ahead of the curve. I've had a cell phone forever. Like I said, I got my first one in '89.
'89.
That's good.
And then I couldn't afford it after a while. So I think I probably got my next one in '93, '92 or '93. Got some big stupid Motorola brick.
The brick.
It's called a StarTech.
Yeah.
Click, and it had an extended battery.
The Nino Brown.
Needed that extended battery. No, it wasn't that big.
No?
I didn't have that one. I know what you're talking about. I had a girlfriend that had one of those.
The Nino Brown?
The real
Brown?
Bricks.
Yeah, the brick.
My brick was a flip brick.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, my first one flipped. I never got the full brick.
I still see, I think the Motorola Razr, which came obviously much later, is the perfect fucking cell phone.
It really is.
Yeah, it's awesome.
Yeah,
one. Cameras. It's not good enough. Yeah.
Right, it's not good enough.
It just can't fuck with today.
Right.
Mm-hmm. It doesn't have a browser. It's like, we don't want just a phone anymore. We want a phone that does everything.
I could do my banking on this phone. How crazy is that?
Not just banking. I do anything I want. I set my DVR when I'm in another country. You know, I can go, oh, fuck, I forgot to tape the fights. It does it. It just records it for me.
That's incredible.
Bananas.
That's madness.
Uber.
Uber. Yeah, Uber's incredible.
Amazing.
Yeah. How about just sending videos and pictures to people and shit? And how fucking little it is.
Have you used Uber?
How little that bitch is.
I know.
Yeah,
so
I use it all the time.
Really?
It's one of my favorite things ever.
It's great.
Which one?
Uber.
Oh, yeah. Huh?
Our neighbor was just telling us about that.
Yeah, we're not on that yet.
Duncan called me. Dude, have you done this Uber? I'm in a car right now. I'm never driving myself again.
That's cool.
I saw Duncan the other day and he Ubered and he doesn't even do the UberX. He gets like the SUV one that comes up and he just like walked in there like a pimp. And like it's just crazy. Like in 3 minutes, you can have like a pretty much a black limo pick you up for cheap.
Yeah, I mean, it's and the tip is built in, you know. I tip them extra, but the tip is built into the thing, you know. It's nice. It's so easy. You just get in, get out. Say thanks, bye.
That's great.
And you got a limo ride.
And then don't you review them or something?
Yeah,
like,
yeah,
that's
their
incentive to be good to you?
Yeah.
That's awesome.
It's a nice car?
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Yeah, it was really nice. We used it in Manhattan a couple of times. Got SUVs. They were nice drivers. Everybody was cool. Respectable folks.
The last Uber I went to, the guy said that he gets a lot of people that are just ballers, like, hey, I want to go to Vegas. And so they'll Uber from L.A. to Vegas, but then he has to drive fucking back, you know, by himself.
Wow,
you know,
that's a long haul.
Somebody the other day went to Salt Lake City because they didn't have a car and they wanted to go home. So he said it was like $2,500 Uber to
Super. What?
What?
Wow.
Whoa.
How much is his plane ticket, though? If you go in first class, that might be better.
Yeah.
Definitely
better. Right.
Yeah.
For
I've done Vegas before. I've done Vegas in a limo before. But it's God, it's a long drive.
It is.
Really?
It's a long drive.
What is it, like 4 hours?
I've driven it too. It's 4 hours. It's a long drive to do in one day and then go do something.
Yes, it sucks. Yeah. And it's boring.
You just feel spent.
Oh.
Desert.
It's also if you get stuck in traffic there, it's heinous.
It's the worst.
That's a road that was designed back when people were driving Model Ts. You know? It's a stupid two lane shitbag road. And it's just going through these desolate areas and broken down. And you see just nothing but brake lights for hours.
Yeah, devastating. And the weirdest thing is like there's that, the first sign of like the casinos that come up. Do you know what I'm talking about? They're like the crummier ones. You're like, who's staying here, dude? 20 minutes this way. There's cooler shit.
With a broken roller coaster
out
front.
Why are you staying here?
Probably a great documentary in that. If we wanted to make it.
Right?
If we
Mini
all
Vegas?
Wanted to just go to that place.
Yeah.
That
Let's
one spot.
There.
And it's like
super
a show.
Far south. Yeah.
Do
Let's
a show
do
there.
It.
Yeah.
And bring, you know,
it's like roller coasters and shit, though.
Yeah,
right?
It's so bizarre.
Bad fucking roller coasters.
Can you imagine, though? That would actually be, look, you, me, and Diaz doing a show in a casino there in the middle of nowhere. That might actually be fun.
So random.
Yeah.
We could bring people in there.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. You know? Nobody there would be would expect what's going on.
Yeah, it would be a fun hangout. That would be a fun hangout. Just call it, you know, disaster in the desert or something like that.
Every one of those places has the thing like, these slots pay. That's what it says.
For,
like,
loose.
We got the loose slots.
Loose
slots.
Like,
we got real loose slots here. Why are you going to go in?
Stanhope has been doing a tour of really shitty spots.
That's and such a good idea.
Bill Burr wanted to do that too. He wanted to do one with me and him, go to like the worst places ever. I'm like, boy, I don't know. It sounds novel,
right?
But wouldn't it be better to go to like Houston?
Direct flights. Awesome.
Wouldn't it be better to go to like Chicago? Like, hey, right. You guys got to get out of there.
Yeah,
I'm not coming to you. It's only helping you if I come to you. It's
not. I'm only encouraging this bad behavior.
I'm only encouraging you to stay there.
Yeah, man.
Go.
Yeah,
no.
Move to a cooler place.
There's some places I get psyched to be back, like Chicago. You know. I was talking to somebody about Chicago. Oh, Burr. We were talking about Chicago might be like the most underrated place in the country. You know, like as far as like doing stand up there.
Chicago's great.
It's one of the greatest places of all time to do stand up.
Yeah. I've only done Schaumburg. It's really the Schaumburg improv.
It's more of a suburban thing.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I do the theater, the Chicago theater, and it's in, you know, in the city, and it's different. They're on the ball. There's some smart fucking people.
Yeah, I enjoy the Midwest for stand-up. I love Ohio.
Yeah, like, love Ohio.
It's fantastic. Like, for some reason, the Midwest really gets it, and they're down.
Yeah, I did one of my best specials there, Talking Monkeys in Space. I did that in Ohio. Oh. I did that in Columbus at the Southern Theater where Mae West worked.
Oh, get out.
Yeah, and cool. W.C. Fields and Mae West.
O.H.
That's awesome.
Oh. Yeah.
That's one with the stars in the background.
Yeah,
looked really, really good.
Yeah, those people are like... I always feel like people in like Columbus and people in like Chicago and people in like Milwaukee, they're like smart people, but also they have that Midwest like down to earth thing going on.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. They might be in a city, but there's like a lot of people that are like real good people that are like, you know, there's like the, you know, when they call that area the heartland, like the salt of the earth, there's a lot of morons that live out there. Don't make no mistake about it. All right. There's a lot of the really. Farmy places in this country are filled with retards.
Yeah.
Right? We know that. But they're also filled with a lot of cool fucking people.
For sure.
Yes. You know? And just like everywhere you go, you're not going to get 100% gems.
Right.
You're just not. You're just getting.
Just
there's
like
always
in LA.
A trade off.
There's turds in LA too.
Fuck yeah. And those, the ones that are turds, they throw off your perceptions.
That's
like I've had people say, you know, oh man, I went to LA, man, I went to this party. Everybody was so fucking full of themselves. We're all full of shit. And that place sucks. Okay, I believe you 100%. But that how there's 20 million people here.
You can't find one.
One party, one night, one terrible clunk of humans.
Yeah.
And, you know, you just got mixed up in the wrong tribe, son.
The other one.
You could have been hanging out with us at the improv.
That's what it is, tribes. It's all about finding your tribe in wherever you are.
Yeah, and wherever you are.
Yeah.
People also talk shit about L.A. A lot of times they'll be like, you're from L.A.? That place sucks. And I'm like,
I hate
like,
that.
What'd you do? I went out there for like, you know, whatever, 3 or 4 days.
Oh,
like, where'd you stay? They're like, Hollywood and Highland. And I'm like, did you go anywhere? They're like, no, just right there. I'm like, so you hate fucking Hollywood Boulevard, man? Like, what are you talking about?
We do, too. I grew up here. Like, I fucking hate that part.
It's not indicative of the entire city.
Yeah, I've been here since 94, and I don't go there.
No, it's for
tourists. Come on. It's horrible.
It's a bad place.
It's like saying, one of my friends told me he hated New York, and he was like, it's the worst fucking city I've ever been. I'm like, really? Where'd you stay? Like, where'd you go? He's like, I was in Spanish Harlem. And I was like, but like, where'd you go? He's like, no, I just stayed there. Like, I stayed in Spanish Harlem. I was like, that's all you saw? And he was like, yeah. I go, well, I mean, that's not, you can't take in the city just in Spanish Harlem.
You can't take in that city in a year.
No.
You know?
No.
What you're going to do is get a sense of like, whoa, there's a lot of motherfuckers here.
Oh, yeah, dude.
Spend 2 weeks in New York just going from one place to another, just trying to check off a list of the interesting places from the museums to the restaurants to... Going on Broadway. Like, New York is so strange that Broadway works there. okay?
Right.
There's a fucking really so good reason why those stupid musicals and plays aren't everywhere.
I hate
everywhere.
Them so much.
They're
I hate
so
musicals.
Dumb.
Yeah, they're so stupid.
They're a murderous assault in your
yes.
attention span.
Yes.
But New
Thank
York
you.
Is so big and so awesome Ugh. That it can actually support a whole community of people that pretend to like
Who
that
the
stuff.
Fuck? Right. Do you think
and make
pretending?
Them millionaires. Yeah,
maybe they do like it. Maybe I'm just an asshole. Most likely, I'm just an asshole.
The yeah. worst I mean, is that Andrew Lloyd Webber shit. I mean, it's so soul crushing. That's so fucking spirit crushing. And it's not even okay. It'll literally be like, I'm lifting the bottle. She's lifting the bottle. We're walking down the street. There's
yes,
no
exactly.
merit to any of it.
I went
it's
to see.
It's fucking painful.
Brian Callen had a teacher who was a theater teacher. And Brian always gets sucked into, because he's such a nice guy, he always gets sucked into going to these things. They drag him to these things. They're always like, I'm doing a performance. I would love it if you came.
Oh, no.
And he's like, I gotta go. So this was, the guy was going to sing show tunes. And so Brian calls me up. He goes, listen to me. You must come with me. I'm about to see my theater teacher sing show tunes. It will be most excellent. And by the way, he's going to be very sincere. So we went and watched this guy sing like these sincere shows.
Holy
like,
shit.
And I hope you have a drink when you really want a drink. Like that
so
kind of stuff.
Earnest, yeah.
That what you're talking about, they're almost like, doing dialogue.
Yes, just
but
say it.
Singing.
Yeah.
They're not
yeah.
even rhyming. It's
no.
so, it doesn't even make sense. Why are we singing the song?
It's
You guys
terrifying.
Don't get it. That's why they're singing the song.
We must not get it. We're going to get some angry.
And he was really good. I enjoyed it.
No,
he
I
did.
You enjoyed it?
I enjoyed it.
Can
okay.
I was so high. I was.
There you go.
I was so
that's
high.
How you
my
that.
Feet were barely touching the ground because all I could think about was the amount of space that's in an atom. Like an atom is almost entirely made out of space. And so I was thinking of, like, while this guy was singing, I was like, why do I even feel the ground? This is all bullshit.
Mm-hmm. You know, that's what you were enjoying.
There's no
wow,
real.
Yeah.
This is all space. Why does it feel hard under my feet? And that's what I was thinking about why this guy was going.
Was that
and I
here?
Hope you have a drink. Yeah, it was on Hollywood. It was on Hollywood Boulevard, someplace, I believe. It was a nice place,
dude. I think that that Heartland area, though, not just Chicago, that whole area is underrated for stand up.
Oh yeah, for
awesome
performing,
yeah,
for
quite,
performing,
quite good.
You yes. know what's kind of fucked up is that not a lot of stand ups came out of Chicago. Mm. Like if you look at like Houston.
Mm-hmm.
Some of the all timers, Bill Hicks, Sam Kinison.
Yeah,
you know, there's a lot of great fucking comics came out of Houston. Yeah. To my two all time favorites right there.
Mm-hmm.
And so, you know, you compare Chicago to Houston. Chicago's way bigger. Like, why doesn't Chicago have a gang of comics? Look at New York. The list of comedians that have come out it's endless. It's
endless.
Pointless to even start. Yeah. Look at L.A. Pointless to even start. Look at Boston, smaller than Chicago by a good margin. And the amount of great comics that came out of Boston, staggering.
Yeah.
Chicago, you got Larry Reeb, you know, your Uncle Lair. Remember that guy?
No.
No.
He's a funny guy.
Yeah.
He's a funny guy, Chicago guy. He was on one of those Rodney Dangerfield HBO specials.
Oh, those old
But a lot of improv
specials.
Guys.
Yeah,
sketch improv
really
guys.
Bad.
That's
back.
True.
Yeah, they
that's
all do
true.
Sketch and improv. Maybe that's what it is.
Second
they're,
City.
They're like
Chicago.
Goofier. They're not analytical and
That
angry.
Doesn't make any sense.
Yeah.
Why, the stand-up is better. They know it. You know it. I know it. Why wouldn't they do that instead? It's the funniest shit. If you want to go see, I mean, if you want to see something really funny, you go see a great
stand-up.
My opinion.
And the other area, I always have a good time going there, but I don't know that many. Well, actually, Minneapolis. Swartzen came out of Minneapolis.
Yes.
He's a super fucking funny guy.
Yeah, he's hilarious.
I don't know that many other people from Minneapolis.
Why do I want to say that Mitch Hedberg came out of Minneapolis?
He is from Minnesota, too. Yes.
Yeah.
Good one.
Yeah, he actually recorded one of his CDs at Acme, right? Didn't he?
I don't know if he recorded one there. I recorded one there, and I'm doing a special there.
I love Minnesota.
Doing a special in Minneapolis.
I love Minnesota, period.
It's awesome.
It's
awesome
up there.
Yeah.
It's cold as fuck, but
I'm going right before it gets I'm going November 9th, which is basically once you get into January, February, it's fucking
terrifying.
You can get free tickets to go to that special, by the way.
Yes, you can.
TomSegura.com.
Sweet.
Thanks, man. Please
googly
go.
Moogly.
Come to my special.
I can't, but I'll tell people to go. What day is it?
November 9th.
November 9th.
Yeah.
Yeah, son.
Yeah, I love. I mean, I picked it because I actually literally have never had a bad time doing stand-up in Minneapolis.
Yeah.
It's that good.
Yeah, so that's. I'm in Edmonton that night.
You're in a colder place. You're in a colder place.
Yeah, I'm at the River Cree. Edmonton's fun too. You ever go up there?
I've never been there. I've done Winnipeg, good times. Calgary, Toronto, Vancouver, Montreal.
I love Toronto.
Toronto's
God,
amazing.
That's so fun.
Yeah, we did two nights in Toronto. We did the Sony Center, right? That what
yes.
it was? We did the Sony Center one night, and then the next night we did Second City. Mm. It was fucking incredible.
Wonderful.
Incredible. And the people couldn't be nicer. Like the people that you run into there.
Oh my God.
They're like it's like a weird utopian city.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's very really strange. Is. They're super nice up there. Canada is just nicer. I've wondered many, many times to try to figure out what it is. Like, why are they nicer? What is it?
Well, I have a friend from Canada, my friend Shane, and he claims it's because when you have, they kind of have more of a support system. Yeah, like the government does take more of your money, but maybe it's because they take care of your health. They take care of you a bit more. And he's like, we don't really have a need to be as competitive.
No guns.
Like, I also feel like
they have plenty of guns. They do
they
a lot
guns,
of hunting up
yeah.
there.
But I remember watching the news in Toronto, and it wasn't like, that wasn't a big deal. It was just so matter of fact. Like, there was not a lot of sensationalism added to it the way we do. It wasn't like, be afraid, everything's terrifying. It was like, well, today what happened is, you know, blah, 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 blah.
You know what? Also, they don't have a guilty conscience as a country.
Mm-hmm.
They're not out there raping the world.
Yeah, maybe that's
they're,
it.
They're a part of some of the adventures that we go on.
Right.
But they're like the dude that lives in the town that gets dragged along.
Yeah.
They're not like the crazy asshole that organizes the hit on the other village.
That's right.
You know?
Yeah. They're just, I don't know. I think it is less, has that less, you got to, we're number one, you got to fucking
we love
prove that
number
you're number
one,
all the whole mantra.
If you stopped and thought about all the fucked up shit the United States does and all the different countries and like how many people must be like upset at the idea of the United States as a whole, not its real citizens like you or I who really don't have any part in any of this stuff, but somehow or another get lumped in on the same team.
And we benefit from our empire.
Yeah.
That's a problem.
Fuck yeah.
We're on this team and we benefit from this expansion, from this conquering of other lands. But
that's how they keep us invested in it.
Sure.
And that's when you hear like an Ann Coulter. It's like, hey, so we got to go to fucking war for oil.
Yeah.
You know, people get real squirrely when it comes to that stuff. And I see their point. I see their point if, you know, if I looked at the world the way they do, and I think a lot of people look at the world like there's these people in these other parts of the world, and these people are evil, and these people, you know, they hate your freedom, they hate what you stand for, their religion is based on hating you and wanting you dead. I get that.
And all that oil, too.
There's a little bit of that there, too. It's just convenient that those same dummies are the ones who have the oil.
Yeah.
These dangerous dummies it's also weird. Have the oil, so we got to go and check
them. Coinky dink, huh?
Isn't it funny? And they're always like, their religion is so unreasonable. You're not even allowed to draw their guy. If you draw their guy, they'll fucking kill you.
I wouldn't even say that you're not allowed to draw the guy. That might get you killed, too.
So it's like, it's all set up. So that it's perfectly reasonable for us to go over there and fuck them up.
Yeah, yeah.
It's almost like if you wanted to play some long-term geopolitical chess. Long-term geopolitical chess means you got to ensure that you're going to have some enemies to defeat in the future. You can't keep, like, you can't destroy people and then build up a new empire from scratch. You got to keep some enemies active. You got to keep them healthy because if you don't have any conflict, you're not in business anymore.
Right.
That's
so
a good point.
You empower these countries. So it's like when the United States, and this sounds like total hippie InfoWars nonsense, but it's a fact. It's been going on forever. The United States armed Iraq. You know, it was a Bill Hicks joke. We know they're heavily armed. How do we know?
Yeah.
We check the receipt.
Yeah.
Right,
you know?
Right.
I mean, they.
What's this one do?
Yeah. They armed Iraq. They armed Iran. They've armed the whole. Remember the thing with President Reagan where he got in trouble because he sold arms to Iran and then he had to testify and he said he couldn't remember?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
I mean, they have been doing it this way.
We provide a lot of arms to a lot of countries.
They're chess masters. These are war masters.
Yeah.
And war masters play chess. And chess is a long-term game.
Mm-hmm.
And you don't want to – if you want to keep a fight going and you want to keep getting money and keep extracting money from the society that supports this, you don't ever like crush your enemies.
No, it's
not That's why
profitable.
They pulled out of Iraq in the first place. The first Desert Storm when we first went in there.
Yeah.
When we first went in there, they decided not to take over Iraq. They got in, they crushed the enemy, like with almost no resistance. The only casualties were because of a Scud missile hit barracks and killed like 80 people. But that was the only people that died. Like, other than that, it was like a few people died, and a lot of people got sick after the fact when they found out that they were using depleted uranium, and people got like some serious radiation sicknesses and things. But when they got to Baghdad, they decided not to take it over. Wow. Like, yeah, we'll just get out of here and leave. So they left Saddam Hussein to run the country after they crushed him.
Yeah.
And he basically ran it the same way he always ran it, with his crazy sons. They fed people to dogs. They were, you know.
They were savages.
Unbelievable savages.
Ridiculous. Yeah.
And, but I believe that in the long-term chess game, it's important to have a boogeyman. Because if we wanted to go in and take Iraq, like, we can't really justify going to war unless something happens. Mm-hmm. And the only way something happens is if other people have some kind of power. You know, so they always are going to back off a little. They're always going to let there be just enough enemies out there. And now that it's not even like country-based, it's like terrorism. Like back in the Nazi days, in the World War II days, they fucked up. They had to call them Nazis. They called them Nazis. We defeat the Nazis. Now what? But those fucking Russians, I don't like the way they're looking at us. You know, they ran out of enemies. But with terrorism, you never run out of enemies. It's really brilliant.
And you need that for the sale, to do the sale to the public, to be like, you know what, we got to do this because here's the terrorists.
And they're everywhere.
You go, oh, yeah, and we got to do something now.
And they come with a bunch of different names. They're confusing as fuck. They're Al-Qaeda. Yep. They're the Taliban.
They don't wear a uniform.
Which is the difference? Right. Is Al-Qaeda part of the Taliban?
Yeah.
Did they start out with the Taliban and break off into a much more rebellious faction?
And I'll tell you, you have no idea how many bases we do have in the Middle East. I mean, when I did Saudi.
Over 100. More than 100 different countries.
We're in Kuwait. We're still in Kuwait. We're in Saudi Arabia, and the government, I don't know if I should say this, but like the government gave me a duplicate passport. I had two passports, one of which I had to surrender after I went in and out of Saudi. It was like a decoy passport to go into Saudi Arabia to perform and then come immediately
back
out.
What does that mean? Was it illegal what you were doing?
I don't know.
Are you a criminal?
But
you're a criminal on my show? Because I pay taxes.
No.
I'm trying to drive an American car and I pay taxes, goddammit.
But it was a trip. I mean, we're not supposed to be there, right?
What is that supposed to, though? No one's supposed to be anywhere.
No. You know? Right.
There's no one supposed to be controlling the fucking oil, either.
We're everywhere.
No one is supposed to be anywhere. The whole idea is ridiculous. And I think it's going to break down. I just can't see it keep going. I think it's just like everything else. It's been slowly but surely dissolving around us.
Yeah.
I think, you know, as technology increases, as our access to each other increases, it's going to be way easier to decipher what other people are saying. You know, the whole idea about the Tower of Babel, keep man forever divided by making a gang of different languages so they can never completely communicate with each other. Mm. That's all slowly being broken down. And it's one of the biggest impediments to peace. It's one of the biggest impediments to cultural understanding. Like, I love watching shows about other countries, about how they eat and what they do. Like, I love Anthony Bourdain's show, especially.
Oh, yeah. Me too. I could watch anything that guy does.
Yeah, he's an awesome dude too. And he goes over to Egypt. They eat camels, and he was there when they slaughtered it. They killed the camel in front of them and gutted it and slaughtered it, and you know, and they all cook it and they eat it with their hands. They all, you know, it's like, it's really kind of crazy. Like when you watch, like you never shake hands with your left hand.
Right.
Because they don't use toilet paper. They wash their assholes with their left hand and they eat with their right hand. Yes. So they shake hands with their right hand. Then you keep your fucking right hand clean, bitch.
Because
you know, you're going to shake my hand and I'm going to, you better not be wiping your ass with your right hand.
It's
really important. Yeah, they have like, it makes sense though, if you think about it. They got it down to a science.
Yeah, because I asked this guy once, I was like, did you really use your hand? And he's like, it's much cleaner. I mean, you think about it, he's like, you Americans, you take toilet paper and then you mash the shit against your ass. Like, you mash it against you. It's disgusting.
So stupid.
He's like, me, I take my hand, I use my hand, and then I wash my hand. I'm like, do you use soap? He's like, what's soap?
What's soap?
But the point of the
story soap is what makes you smell not like you.
But didn't you see them shitting off of the...
I was on an oil platform in between Iran and Iraq, in the middle of nowhere in the ocean, And it's a mile-long platform, half American Marines, half Iraqi soldiers, and we're teaching the Iraqis how to guard their oil. That's the theory. And anyways, the Iraqi barracks, I got to tour them. Not so nice. Like, those dudes were shitting off the side of the platform, and then the fish that were eating the shit, they would fish those fish and then eat the fish.
Oh.
Yeah, a lot of filth.
What about Buttfuck Thursday?
Oh, I don't know if that's just negative propaganda.
Oh, okay.
Man Love Thursday, that's what the Americans say.
Sam Tripoli claims it's 100% fact.
Yeah.
According to Sam Tripoli. Has he seen that? He says he knows things.
Has he done it?
He's been there.
Fight crime, bro.
He's been down there.
Crime fighter, bro. Fucking gigging.
I'm shady.
Gigging.
Yeah, they're nasty, though. Their mattresses were all brown and grody. And
so they live like savages.
Yeah. Wow. They don't give a shit like we do about hygiene.
Is it because they don't give a shit or they don't have the money?
Well, we were training them and providing them with supplies. So at the time, they did have access to these things. Like, we gave them a bunch of water bottles and we're like, dude, just put this, you know. And it was all over. They would throw the water bottles just all over the floor as opposed to, like, putting them in the refrigerator that the Americans had provided. So,
well, they were probably, like, really disenchanted, you know? I mean,
yes.
Their country got conquered. Everyone they know got killed.
Yeah. I totally agree. And you're like, why are you telling me how to do thing?
Do you ever think about how we would react to just one, like, example of what we do to another country?
Oh my gosh.
Like,
we could see it. We could see it in the South and the North. Have you ever gone to the South and people call you a Yankee?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
I've had people call me Yankees before.
You're just a fucking Yankee.
Yeah.
Okay.
What? I'm worse than a Yankee, dude. I'm a foreigner. My family came from other countries.
Yeah.
I wasn't here when your bullshit was going on with those people.
Wait until they see Pajitsky on the marquee. Jesus. Oh, my God.
Well, you some kind of new Jew.
Yeah, totally.
New kind of Jew.
But I remember this when I was on that oil platform. They had this thing where it was like Operation Win Hearts and Minds. And this is the craziest
Norman
thing ever.
Rockwell just fucked the army in its mouth.
Yeah, yeah. So what they would do?
Operation Hearts and Minds.
Oh, you die. So once a week they had ice cream socials with the Iraqis, and they would fucking find a way to get tubs of Rocky Road ice cream airlifted onto this oil platform, and then I would be having ice cream with the Iraqis so that they would see how amazing our American Rocky Road isn't. Everything amazing in America? Like, don't you want this? Yeah.
And they're like, yeah, this is pretty good fucking ice cream.
It's going to take back my grandmother getting her head blown off in front of me.
Right, right. I'm defecting. This is amazing.
It's got chocolate chunks in it. You don't like that?
Wow.
Does it make you forget about your
family? I lost almost everyone in my family, but I think it was worth it.
Yeah.
Because this is cold.
It's like a swirl.
It's kind of delicious. That is so hilarious.
You remember your nephew now, right?
Yeah.
Fucking ice cream.
You don't need your kids. You've got Rocky Road.
It's so hilarious.
Yeah. So,
what a weird fucking thing it is. What a weird fucking thing it is to just go into another country and kill everybody and then give them stuff.
And then we need to set up permanently here, guys. After we've killed everybody, we're going to be here a while. And
we don't,
like, okay.
You know, we don't think you can do this on your own, even though you did this on your own since like the
900s.
Right. Yeah, right.
Right.
And they have to go, okay, you're right, we won't get upset.
Well, that's the second time that someone has done that to Baghdad. I've been listening to, for the past couple of years, Dan Carlin's Hardcore History.
Yeah.
I guess about a year and a half. And he has this amazing series about the Mongols. It's called, the Mongol Invasions.
What, are you those. Like? Well, Hungarians are.
Are you guys one of the Mongols?
Mongols, yes.
Really? Mm. The Mongols fucked all you, that's why.
The Huns, yes.
Yeah, they came in and fucked everybody.
Yes.
Yeah. But he has this whole piece about them taking over Baghdad. Mm. And you kind of understand why the Middle East is so fucked up once you hear it. They killed everybody. They threw all of their writing into the river. They said the river ran black with ink and red with blood.
Jesus.
Killed everybody. Wow. Like, literally killed everybody. Like, they killed a million people. Mm. Like, they would kill people. Then they would come back 2 weeks later to see if anybody was cleaning up the bodies, and they'd kill them.
Jesus.
Wow.
Yeah, they didn't fuck around.
That's effective.
And they say that Baghdad never really recovered. And, like, essentially, in the 1200s, 12 whatever it was, when Genghis Khan did all that crazy shit, from then until now, they've never recovered. But back then, they were the pinnacle of civilization. Like,
yeah.
They were, like, scholars and scientists, and they were excellent keepers of records. All that went in the river. Bitch! Just cut
Isn't
everybody's
that
head off.
Interesting, and that's it. Once your intellectual history is gone, you're done for.
It's done. You start from scratch, and everyone's dead.
Now,
by the way,
this might be a hippy dippy, dopey thought, a pot thought, but I fear that our culture is going that way because of the disappearance of the bookstore, because of the disappearance of book learning, book reading, because of like the nooks and just download that. You understand? Like, there's a process when you go into a bookstore. And you go, I'm interested in this topic. And you point your finger and you go, what's that? Like, what's that? I feel like that experience is gone.
Yeah.
I feel like we're totally regressing into idiocracy and it is going that direction.
Well, we have always gone to the path of least resistance. Every person does. You know, you have to fight to not do that.
Right.
And the path of least resistance is you just watch TV. and just sit on the couch. You can just, you know, go order some takeout. Let's just get a pizza delivered. Let's just, the path of least resistance is not going to the bookstore, getting a book, sitting home, reading it, absorbing it.
Right.
It's no, it's sitting it in front of a television.
Yeah.
Yeah.
We, it's just, we have so much, like going to the supermarket to get your food. That's another thing that's probably not good. It's probably be better if everybody grew their own food. If we had like community gardens and everybody grew their own food, and you know, and even if you don't eat meat, all you really need is some chickens. You know, if you have a bunch of hens, they lay eggs. You don't have to, you're not killing a chicken.
Right.
Like those eggs will never become a chicken unless a rooster's in the house.
Right.
So if the rooster's banging them, then those chickens have the potential to have a baby. Otherwise, they're just laying eggs that are free food.
Right.
You feed them, you give them your table scraps, like vegetables and stuff. They eat it, they love it. You let them run around your yard and pick up your grass. That's like a smart way to live. The way we do it, we're not connected to our fucking food. And I think that, just like being not connected to information, not reading books anymore, not exploring and learning ideas, that's bad for you. But I think on the other hand, there's never been more information available to everybody on your phone, on a computer.
But I agree with you. But it's an abridged, weird version. There's something different about reading. Let's say you want to know what Nietzsche said. There's a huge difference between picking up Beyond Good and Evil and reading that bitch cover to cover and being like, wow, there's this and that idea and making connections, than going to Wikipedia and being like, Friedrich Nietzsche, what did that guy say? God is dead. Got it. On to the next thing.
And you quote it on a message board to seem like a genius.
Just, of course.
Right. There's a huge
difference. Do you even know who said that, bro? That's what you throw in.
That's how you know, someone says something and you Google the debunked and then you pick out a quote from that. And, oh,
See, this goes back to why our relationship works, is because I don't let her smartness upset me.
Right, Tommy.
It's smart. True.
I don't know.
No, I'm serious. I think what makes it work is that, you know, you like your book and then you're reading, and I'll actually go, you know what? I should read a book. I use it as inspiration.
You read, you're a reader, though.
Yeah, but I download my books onto my iPad.
I do too now, though. I'm not saying that that's an
evil. But I'm saying it is an extension of what we're talking about. Like, you know, you have good habits that I, you know, copy. I go, I should read a book because you're reading so many books.
And then, do you know what I learned from you?
That you should watch a football
game. That I should like football. No. I learned how to deal with, like, white dudes because I kind of, Tommy's really good at dealing with, like, white dude America. Like business things, and I learn from him. Like, I watch him how he does all
white
that.
Dudes,
yeah. Like, the man, you know what I'm saying? Like, the business man. And stuff. Because I'm not good at that. Like,
you're supposed to get some Jew to do that for you.
I totally have them. Thank you. Yes, I have
smart
a team
Jew.
Of Jews.
They seem to have a good grip on how to run
they
the
so
show
do.
Business industry.
What's that about?
I think that people, I think, first of all, I think a lot of Jews are smart. If you look at the amount
Super
of,
smart.
Yeah, if you look at the amount of Nobel Prize winners and in science and like there's, and PhDs, a shitload of them are Jewish from Europe, European Jews.
Yes.
It's amazing how many of them. It's amazing. So it's like it's a staggering number, you know. And I think it's just an excellent gene pool as far as intellectual.
Is that why they're so
also,
persecuted?
It's a good culture to be born into. It's culturally, like, you know, it's a supportive atmosphere.
Mm-hmm.
It's the atmosphere a lot of times of like helping, bringing people along,
family.
Inspiring.
Right,
yes.
But there's a seclusionary thing that they have going on a bit,
right.
Where they kind of exclude everybody else out of their community because. You know, and just if you looked at it, I mean, I hate to be a Jew lover here, but if you looked at it in terms of just accomplishments and just it makes sense that they would want to
keep
everybody out. If you looked at the amount of shit that they've pulled off,
right?
Like intellectually,
the
amount of things that the Jewish people have done, I mean, it's really kind of staggering, especially compared to my moron people.
Mm-hmm.
My moron people have Michelangelo, Leonardo da Vinci, and everybody else is retarded.
Yeah.
The
few
mafia.
Dudes make cars and a bunch of assholes who look like me, look like chimp people. You know, they're a bunch of chimp people.
Good suits, man. You got some good tailors.
Yeah, and my people are the southern people. My people are not the smart ones who look like Europeans. My people are the ape-like characters. They look like they carried bricks up hills. You know, when I say that these Jews are so much smarter than a lot of other nationalities, it's just a fact. I mean, it really
kind
is.
It is.
It's just, if you look at accomplishments, let's not say they're smarter but they're exemplary for sure. And so if they were that exemplary and that accomplished as a race, it makes sense they'd be exclusionary.
Yeah.
They want to keep all my dumb genes from fucking their daughter, shooting her up with some live crazy load that's going to create some half smart, half fucking ape kid. Gonna run around and ruin things at the Jewish school and be like, bro, I'm not wearing a fucking yarmulke, all right? That shit's stupid. My dad says it's dumb as fuck. And oh, like, you got a beanie? God wants you to wear a beanie? Great. Dude, seriously?
We got this genius that just joined our tribe, guys.
God made flowers, God made beehives, and he wants you to wear a beanie. Shut the fuck up.
It also keeps, if you're that exclusionary, you get to keep, you know, outside competition from your businesses.
Yes.
You know,
that's
also can a good I tell thing. You what Nepotism. that is also an immigrant practice. My father's Hungarian and he primarily deals with other Hungarians.
Or Eastern European.
Eastern European, not other tribes. other tribes. Sure. He's very explicit. But that's a common immigrant thing to do as well. The Asians deal with the Asians, et cetera, et cetera.
And somehow or another they've made blowjobs less of a taboo. The Jewish girls always enjoyed the blowjobs much more than the American girls.
That's
they were doing you a massive favor.
You're right.
I think that stops once you marry them, though.
Yes.
That's what I've heard.
That's yeah.
Yes.
That's a wrap.
That's the fucking bait and switch right there.
It's replaced by nagging.
But they like it. Like when I was in high school, I mean, that was the word. The word was that Jewish girls give head. And they like it.
Let's do a poll.
They're always freakier in the sack, I think. But I'm German. Yeah. So.
I'm sorry, the maybe Jewesses?
Jewesses. But you know, but they also have that reputation of being naggy. And they have the reputation of not, you know, not being sexual.
Prejudice against Italians.
I also heard that...
I'm definitely prejudiced against Italians.
Yeah, are you?
I don't fuck my people.
Please, Jew blood?
You don't have your... I
haven't fucked
Hungarians
my people
either.
Since the early 80s.
Really?
I learned a long time ago to keep away from my people.
Jewish girls?
Interesting.
Savages. Chimp people. They're chimp people. I've only had one girl swing at me ever. She was Italian. Full blown. This bitch took a wind up.
Was she like a fucking Jersey Shore kind of bitch?
Long Island. Ooh. Bitch was crazy. Oh, yeah. She's ready to go to war.
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, I didn't hit her back. I just grabbed a hold of her. I'm like, we don't have to do this. Let's not turn this into a slugfest.
You can't hit back, right?
No.
Oh, you can't do that.
Oh, my God.
No. You can't get in a slugfest with a chick?
No. I mean, girls can with other girls, but...
Well, you know, but my point is, I've never had a white girl swing at me.
No.
Other than Italians.
Yeah.
Remember Drunk Katie? Remember her? I was talking to her.
Yeah, Katie's awesome.
Yeah, I love Katie. I was talking
so
to her
funny.
Yesterday, and she was reminded me of that time where somebody in the audience, Davey was on stage. Davey, the guy that has, you know, he walks funny. He was
cerebral palsy?
Yeah.
Yeah.
He walks funny.
So somebody yelled out like, "You're not funny, retard," to him.
Jesus.
Wow.
And
oh,
Katie
God.
Was waiting. She was a waitress there at the time, and she came up and goes, "Did you just say he was retard?" And he goes, "Yeah." And she just punched him and knocked him out.
She knocked him out.
Jesus. Katie was That's you got to awesome. Throw that all through the red band filter. Whether or not she knocked him out.
Okay.
Did she heard him? Oh, she said.
Yeah. Yeah.
Oh, there you go.
She's from Boston. She's like a boss.
She will punch somebody, no doubt. She's hilarious. Mm-hmm. We had some of the funniest times at that store talking to like her and Eleanor. Eleanor, who's now finally doing comedy.
Yeah.
Eleanor Kerrigan is fucking hilarious.
Yeah,
and
she's
always been hilarious.
Yeah.
Like when she finally started doing comedy, I was like, wow, why didn't you do this a long time ago? You know, you were always hilarious. And she's a hack detective. You know, like I would say, like, everybody says this guy's funny. Is he funny? And she would go, "If you like old, stupid premises, redone." And then she'd like walk off. Like she knew it was bullshit and what wasn't. She knew about dance moves.
Doing dance moves.
Tommy's word for like when a joke's not really that funny, you're trying to jazz it up,
and
give it some dance moves. I would call it English, putting English on the cue ball, make it spin around for no reason.
Like when you have to really work it.
Oh, I know. Yeah. Believe me, in the South, you have to do that a little bit.
Do you think so?
Yeah, I shuck and drive a lot harder. I slow it down.
Well, I've always said this. I think it's way harder for a woman to do stand-up.
Yeah.
I think it's harder to get the attention on stage from men to give you the ball, you know, because guys will, "Hey, I'm funnier than this bitch. Let me talk." You can't have opinions on things. You certainly can't have opinions on religion or politics or anything controversial where you or I could pull off, you know, like, "I don't agree with this guy, but But if a woman, like if a woman's on stage telling Jesus jokes,
yeah, it's very volatile.
Fuck yeah, it's volatile. Very,
but that's why it's so important, and I think that that's why it's a good thing to do it.
Well, it's important when they're funny like you.
Oh, thanks.
That's when it's important. Because when they're not funny, they should just quit because they're ruining the rest of the whole thing.
Yeah.
No, can't say that because a lot of people start off not funny and then
they get
figure out how to get funny.
Yeah.
That's true. Yeah, man. Don't you think every guy or every girl faces their own biases socially? When you go up on stage, the audience doesn't know who you are. If you're a black guy, the assumption is, this guy's got to be the funniest guy on the planet. So you have
maybe
that
to bar. You, whitey.
People do, I think, racist. Generalize black dudes on stage, though. I think they give them more props a lot of times.
Yeah, I agree.
To black people they don't know.
Well, I think a lot of black people throughout history have been fantastic performers.
Yeah, for sure.
If you look at the number of people, like all-time, you know, like, number of black people and number of great black entertainers, especially in stand-up,
it's
so
phenomenal.
Disproportionate.
Yeah.
Because if you think of, like, the greatest comics of all time, you know, if you had to, like, do 100
break it down,
of them,
yeah.
It's going to be more than 10 that are black,
mm-hmm.
you know? Yeah. I mean, there's 10% of the population's black. If you took the 100 greatest comedians, probably, like, 50 of them would be black.
Right,
yeah.
right. Yeah, they're disproportionately funnier.
Yeah, I mean, Eddie Murphy, Chris Rock, Richard Pryor, Bill Cosby. You know, those are in the top five all-time greats. And there's four of them, and they're black. Dave Chappelle, five black guys, right there.
Yep.
Bing, 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 bing.
And the
bing.
Jews, very funny.
Jews are funny.
Yeah.
Jews are funny.
Yeah.
Yeah,
and
the Jews are.
I watched some, dude, see if you can pull this, because it's kind of interesting. Pull this up. Rare footage of Woody Allen doing stand-up.
Oh,
Woody
yeah.
Allen doing stand-up from 1965.
My glasses.
He was funny.
He was
young.
And he was
smart. You could tell he was perverted. Mm-hmm. I'll tell you that right now. That dude's
you know
a freak.
What? He's always obsessed with young pussy. That's always his theme in every movie, almost, if you watch them. It's redemption through young pussy.
Yeah.
I'm aging.
That works.
I'm nebbishy. And it totally
you don't understand
works.
That, you don't understand that
is
that's
that
real.
Right?
It's real.
Of course it's real.
Oh, is that why my
well,
dad
I think
does
old
it?
Guys get young pussy. And
it's,
they bang them and they're like,
dad.
Yes!
Yeah, redeeming.
Of course.
Look at this. Watch this.
I know.
How old is it? Does it say how old he is there, Brian?
65.
Does it say how old he is?
65.
Oh, I was shortest
he's doing
thing ever.
Philosophy jokes and shit, this guy.
The Metropolitan Museum of Art, which is this fabulous museum of art. And when I was younger, I used to hang out a lot. The museum in search of a meaningful social relationship of some. I used to look for girls at the museum. And I saw on the wall once a nude by Rubens, but a real succulent nude.
Succulent.
A naked huntress.
You gotta look at this too. He's so, like, animated.
Sounding
like I'm very emotionally involved with the painting, you know. Two gods had to restrain me. Tried to lick some of the oil off the canvas. So I was thinking to myself, at that time, where is it that I could meet the kind of girl that would pose for that type picture? And in my neighborhood, there's an art supply shop that deals in offbeat things. And I run down there, and I get the name of an artist model off the wall. And I call her up. And I came on very strong like an artist. You know, I used a lot of very artistic terms like brush, I said, and easel. I was just adorable. And we agreed on a price, you know, and hung up. And I got all dressed up in my smock and beret, you know, and little Harvey's Bristol cream on the hair. You know? I'm too much when I want to be. And I waited there. Now or later, there's a knock on my door, and standing there is this fabulous woman, but really sensational. And I let her in quickly, you know, and I lock the door with my police lock immediately. And I said to her,
creep.
Take off your clothes right away, because I don't know much about art, but I know what I like.
What the fuck? Look at his face.
She took off everything, very professional, and posed. And I began to shake, you know. That's my thing. I shake all the time. I'm not good in those kind of situations, you know. I'm perspiring audibly, you know. She's standing there in front of me, majestic. I took my piece of paper and my charcoal pencil, and I went up to her, and I got into a little trouble with her because I tried to trace her. Living, as I do, in our rich neighborhood.
it's fascinating.
You can see his kinkiness, yeah, for sure.
Oh, for sure. Yeah. By the way, do you know how racy that was in 1965, right, on television?
Wow. Yeah.
I think it was on television. I mean, it's being filmed, whatever,
yeah,
it is.
Yeah.
That's what does it say where it was from? Does it say like a show or anything? It was weird. It was in front of a staircase. It was a shitty set. They didn't, yeah, know about sets back then.
No. Right.
TV was only 10 years old.
It doesn't say.
But you could, when you stop and knowing what you know now, and you,
yes,
watch that video.
Isn't that something?
What a nightmare that must have been for everybody involved.
Oh, my God.
Oh, my God, dude.
Craziness, huh? You and your wife get divorced, and you're now banging his daughter, her daughter that used to be your daughter, and now it's your wife.
You're adopted. Your adopted daughter.
Your adopted daughter.
It's not, yeah, okay.
It's not healthy.
It's weird.
Who, yeah, trusts you as a parental figure?
But it's so weird. I mean, has it ever been done by a public figure like that before?
Roman Polanski was banging.
No, nothing,
but
like
not
that.
His daughter.
But right, nothing like that.
Not,
yeah,
like that.
He raped a girl. I mean, yeah. Roman Polanski.
Wait a minute.
Did a really
Jerry
horrible
Lee
thing.
Lewis.
Jerry Lee Lewis.
Didn't
banged
he marry his cousin?
Yeah, that's different too, though.
It's different too.
This
though.
Is you're the parental. Figure.
Yeah, the parental figure is a way more disturbing prospect.
Yeah, man.
That's the most disturbing.
Yeah, sure.
That's the one that makes you just unforgivably disturbing. But the hot can't help what the hot wants. Mm-hmm. You know, that's what people will say.
So gross.
Well, and the wife, man, she seems like she's off the rails.
Is this Mia Farrow?
Yeah. She seems
now,
off the rails.
She was banging Sinatra,
yep,
when she was like 15.
Well, her son is not Woody Allen's son. Her son is Sinatra's son.
Wow.
Well, that's not confirmed though, right? Isn't it?
Oh, it's totally confirmed.
It
Look
is?
At him. Yeah, pull up the picture. Mia Farrow's son is Sinatra's son. Wait till you see him. All you have to do is look at him, and you go, that is Sinatra.
Now, how did she get hooked up with Sinatra?
He was slinging dick. Okay.
Hey.
Oh.
Yeah.
He's out there with the boys, Dino. Sammy D.
How much did he crush back in the day?
Oh, Frank.
Sinatra?
He would have crushed me.
Easy over
it's
here.
It's fine.
Yeah,
I'd be like, easy. It's the commissioner. Fucking do him.
You guys have a list?
Chairman of the board.
Bang. Sinatra. Dead guys.
Yeah.
Dead guys. Everyone
Sinatra.
Dead. Puerto Ricans. Everyone
a lot
dead.
Of Puerto Ricans.
Look at him.
Dead.
Just shut the fuck up.
Yeah,
oh,
that's
he's
not...
so handsome.
Look at him. Yeah. That is Frank Sinatra's kid.
Totes.
Period.
There's no Woody Allen in
Look at that sexy bastard.
Gorgeous.
Yeah.
How they've blocked the director out of their lives. Gee, I wonder why.
Handsome boy.
Seems like you just want to leave him around with your kids. Especially once your kids became like 16, 17.
An Asian.
Flowery. I just want to touch you with my tongue.
So I
wanted to lick the oils off of the painting. Yeah, he's like in that video of him doing stand-up, he's like so relishing in his perversions.
Yeah.
Yes.
And
he also
seems like really satisfied with himself.
Very.
It's weird.
Do you know he started so
Look at that.
Young?
Get the fuck out of here.
Oh, he's so cute.
That kid is Mia Farrow and Frank Sinatra.
Yes.
I mean,
yes.
That is, there is no Woody Allen in that motherfucker at all.
No.
Woody Allen
right?
My glasses.
Started his career. Woody Allen started doing comedy, like writing as a comedy writer. He dropped out of college at like the age of 20. He studied philosophy,
yeah,
and then he became a comedy writer. Like dudes like him have just been grandfathered into showbiz. Like I was watching a documentary on Johnny Carson. Like, do you realize that Carson's been on television since television was invented? Like,
wow.
In the Midwest, there was one TV station. Carson was on that from the time he was, like, 18 years old.
Right.
Wow.
And then he's like, one day I got a call from NBC. And they were like, do you want a TV show? What's TV? Okay. And he's been on it since the very beginning.
Yeah.
Or was on it, rather.
Yeah.
He's dead now, obviously. But he was a real antisocial piece of shit at home. Like, he totally ignored his wife and kids. Like, he would come home and just sleep on the couch and be like, fuck off.
Did you hear?
But he was so friendly out in the real world.
Yeah.
Like,
yeah.
Out, like, in front of the camera. Do you think that maybe he just was overwhelmed by all the people he was constantly seeing giant crowds of people and everybody, wherever he went, he was, like, getting interviewed and people were coming up to him and...
That, and I know that he had a very disapproving mother, that his mother was like, well, he got the Tonight Show or something, and his mom was like, big deal. Like, you still suck. You're still not funny. So I think there was some of that always wanting mom's approval, that hamster wheel.
But that's
like,
even less reasonable then, because when I see people like that, they know what it's like to have shitty parents.
Right.
And they don't pay attention to their own kids. Like, for you to perpetrate the same stupid shit that you went through because you're too dumb to figure out what fucked you up.
But isn't that what we talked about
work.
At the beginning of the show? How if you're not cognizant of what decisions you're making, if you don't know how to think, then your whole life is in shambles around you.
Did
Did you hear about the Johnny Carson's book that just came out? And it talks about him and his ex-wife, who I guess he was married to this woman that cheated on him with Frank Gifford. What's her face? His name's Kathy Lee Gifford's husband.
Yeah, Frank.
Yeah.
And what are we, TMZ now? What the fuck?
Well, like Johnny Carson like broke into his house or her house and found all these photos of his wife and him together and had a gun in his pocket and he like...
This is all allegedly though, right? This, none of this was like...
No, this is all confirmed. Really, this is all really true.
But how do you know?
Because like his friends were there and they're like Ed McMahon and stuff like that. And so Ed McMahon and him all went to a bar later that night and just got wasted. And then I guess Johnny Carson took a girl home that night from the bar.
Johnny Carson.
But yeah, Johnny Carson.
Yeah, I don't know, man. That sounds like a lot of gossipy nonsense. May or may not have happened type shit. But the guy obviously lived in a different era. You know, being famous before him, being that famous on TV, didn't exist. And
no,
that sort of intimacy,
right.
What I was going to point out,
you're right.
Is that intimacy of being in front of the camera every night like that
for decades
is incredibly unusual.
Yeah.
And so, like, everywhere he went, I guarantee you, people just wanted to be around him and thought that he was a part of their family. Like,
sure.
Wanted to talk to him and grab him. And he was probably like, leave me the fuck alone.
Sure.
Mm-hmm. You know, Jesus Christ. And so that's probably when he went home. He probably had nothing left for his wife and kids.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
And
then
he might have married a cunt and his kids might have been shitheads. I mean, I don't know what the fuck happened. Guy lost a lot of money.
Yeah.
Guy lost a lot. Don't put that up, Brian.
He had a few wives.
Guy lost a lot of fucking money.
Yes.
Big time.
His divorces will get you, right?
Nine figures, I think.
His divorce was one of the things that Eddie Murphy talked about on stage in Raw. Remember that?
Yeah.
His divorce was so bad that Eddie Murphy talked about it on stage.
Bananas.
You know?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Half.
He took some hits, you know, and who knows? Who knows if what kind of a woman he married? Who knows?
Yeah, who knows?
She might have been a sweetheart.
I don't know. Who knows? His sons were like, yeah, we only went on vacation once and dad ignored us. And you're like, oh my God.
It sucks.
And here you think, oh, you must be so great. Johnny Carson's your dad. And, you know, you just think, I don't know.
One of the weirdest things must be like be the son of a movie star.
Yeah, right.
Especially back in those days.
Oh, yeah.
I don't know. Like, I saw something about Steve McQueen. They were honoring Steve McQueen. They had Steve McQueen's son. And Steve McQueen's son's wearing sunglasses. They're interviewing him, and he's wearing sunglasses, and he's inside, which is always like, what are you doing?
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
The fuck are you doing?
Yeah.
Like, unless you have a medical condition, why do you have sunglasses on? This is just weird, you know?
It's like, no matter how big a star you are, too.
Yeah.
You still go like,
unless you're black.
Why?
Yeah. Black guys can put off. They can. They just can. I don't know why.
Purple and
they
orange,
can pull
too.
Off everything, yeah.
Well, they can definitely pull off wearing sunglasses.
Yeah.
Yeah. So you're right. Strong. And those suit colors.
Why can they do it?
I don't know. I was just saying they're so strong. They're so physically imposing. They're just...
Like, well,
Tommy, that's actually quite racist to say that.
Mm.
Yes. Yeah.
Even though, no, it's true.
I support it 100%.
Not fine.
I back my thought on that.
Like, it's also racist to imply they have big dicks. It's also racist to imply that they like chicken and watermelon.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
That's kind of fucked up because both chicken and watermelon are delicious and having a big dick is a good thing.
Awesome. Absolutely. And so is being really good at sports and physically strong.
So why is it that it's a problem?
I think the people that really take issue with that are always taking issue with the fact that the implication that what some people are getting from that is that that's the only thing that somebody black is good at or something that you can be impressed with is that they're, you know, the great entertainer or the big dick guy or they jump fucking through the roof. And you go, no,
the big dick
that's not true. I'm not saying it's the only thing. I'm saying that's what I enjoy the most about those black guys is that guy can jump through the fucking roof.
That's what you enjoy the most about him.
Sure.
Well, isn't
what am I getting out of fucking LeBron James?
How much of the how much of reality was there to what Jimmy the Greek got in trouble with saying?
Here's the thing. My argument on that.
Well, what did he say? Let's tell people what he said.
Jimmy the Greek was calling a game, and he said, I think the actual quote is, look at that little monkey go.
Oh, I remember
And
this story.
Of course, I mean, you say it and you're like, that is unacceptable. But there was basically people were...
Well, pull it up. Jimmy the Greek comments that got him fired. It's on YouTube.
Yeah.
Apparently, he's dead.
What year did this take place?
This had to have been, I want to say...
1988.
I thought it was earlier. I thought it was early 80s. Was it 88?
Yeah, 1988, an embarrassed CBS fired a contrite Jimmy the Greek.
was asking questions about Martin Luther King's birthday and the progress blacks have made in society.
Well, this is not what I was
there,
talking
CBS
about.
CBS sports commentator Jimmy the Greek Snyder gave his impressions of blacks in coaching in the National Football League. His answers could raise as much controversy as
totally
the statements
thing.
By former Dodgers executive Al Campanis last April on ABC's Nightline news program.
Yeah, pretty soon they're going to have to equalize it for the blacks, for the Greeks, the Jews, and for everybody. I mean, let's make it equal for everybody, you know.
And is it equal? What about in sports?
Well, they've got everything. If they take over coaching like everybody wants them to, there's not going to be anything left for the white people. I mean, all the players are black. I mean, the only thing that the whites control is the coaching jobs. Now, I'm not being derogatory about it, but that's all that's left for them. So black talent is beautiful. It's great. It's out there. Yeah. So the only thing left for the whites is a couple coaching jobs.
Yeah, maybe we need to get more black coaches, don't
you? Oh, so ride with me. Okay, well, I'm sure that they'll take over that pretty soon, too.
But I'm talking.
Wait
about
a minute. There's nothing wrong with that.
That I'm talking about his in-game comment. Isn't there a? There's a comment.
He got fired for that?
No, no.
No, that doesn't seem right. I think there's probably another video.
There's an in-game. He's calling a game, and there's a guy. I don't know. That's what I thought.
Well, he was saying something about their butts being higher and their legs being longer. Remember that?
I don't remember it happening. I remember learning about it, and I thought it was the game comment that got him the most in trouble. I mean, obviously, he could have gotten in trouble, obviously, for what he said there.
Yeah, but why would he get in trouble for what he said there?
Well, I think the implication...
Thank you.
It's not going to be it.
You know, on Friday afternoon here in Washington...
No, that's Brett Musburger's commentary on him getting fired. That's not it.
Okay. What that implies, that's kind of like attached to the idea that like black guys couldn't be quarterbacks, like they could play every other position.
Why? Well, wait a minute, he didn't say that though.
No, I'm saying, but it's I think connected to the same point of view, which was that quarterbacks had to be smart, and then coaching is thought of as the total mental thing.
That's not what he was saying though. He was saying that black guys are taking over every spot. They were saying that black guys are going to be every player, and they're eventually going to take over coaching too.
Right.
He said they were eventually going to take over coaching too. Like, he's very specific.
And if they did, there'd be nothing left for the whites to do.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I mean, he's being honest. I mean, look, it's not saying that white guys can't do it.
Yeah.
But he's saying that the majority of the people are... Hey, guys. The majority of the people are going to be black. That's what he's saying.
Mm-hmm.
That they're dominating.
Yeah.
He's right.
He is right.
Is that controversial?
Well, I suppose they also said during the slave period, the slave owner would breed the big black.
That's not that time. But what I'm saying is that time right there, nothing he said was controversial. That was the thing that was controversial. And that's what I was going to ask you about. When I said, do you think that what he said has merit, that they bred people to be the largest slaves?
Definitely.
They definitely did that.
Yes. And
has
I
that
think
been proven?
I think that that definitely happened. And I think... You definitely see the like results of that in today's population in some way. There's no way you can look at some of the African American, the black population, and not actually think that there's some validity to like super breeding having taken place. Like I think there's a disproportionate amount of unbelievably athletic, huge black athletes.
You think the Asians were bred small then?
Well,
no.
But they were in slaves.
It's disproportionate.
Over here.
It's disproportionate.
But if you look at England, and that's a population that's been bred in of itself.
Yeah.
And they're very.
Well, what they know for
pasty.
A fact. Yeah. Well, that's also the weather they're dealing with. Mm. They're pasty because there's no sun.
No sun.
They've been there for thousands of years.
Yes.
Yeah.
I mean, that's a really involved situation. Those people have been there a long ass time.
Mm-hmm. The problem with that slavery thing, like, or saying that, you know, slaves created great athletes, is that white people said it before, and it was always a problem. But then in recent years, and I think the last person to say it was Michael Johnson, the last prominent black guy to say it, our former Olympic gold medalist. He was like, yeah, absolutely, that's a valid point of view to take.
Yeah.
That we have some super athletic gene in some of us.
Yeah, well, if you were going to own slaves, too, it only makes sense. People who own dogs do that.
Right.
People who own roosters, like fighting roosters, they do that, too. They breed the best with the best. Mm-hmm. You've been doing that forever.
You can't look at it from like a whether it's humanitarian or politically correct to say.
Right.
You look at it like, well, imagine you're trying to get production out of humans. And you see one that's really built and strong, and you see another, and you go, "You two, you're going to make kids."
It's empirically proven.
Sure. And why wouldn't those genes then be passed on for generations?
Yeah, for sure.
I mean, it seems like it makes sense to me. I don't have proof
it's
of it,
intuitive
but
intuitive to me too.
Slave genes myth must die. Michael Johnson links African American sprinters to slavery and revisits a particularly ugly pseudoscience.
But why is that so ugly?
Particularly ugly. As a historian, I find to be stunning about what he said. The claim of supremacy of black athletes in track had never been discussed openly before. Actually, with his words, Johnson plunged himself into a century-old debate that seems to rear its rather ugly head every 4 years.
It's not ugly.
Just in time for the opening of the sport's largest global stage, Johnson supported his theory with the examples of men's 100-millimeter finals in the Beijing Olympics. 3 of the 8 finalists came from Jamaica, including a record-breaker winner Usain Bolt, 2 from Trinidad, African-Americans Walter Dix and Doc Patton, and Dutch sprinter Charande Martina, who hails from Curaçao, rounded out the line. Racial assumptions don't work easily, as simply noting that 4 years ago, all 8 finalists in the quest to be the world's fastest men likely had ancestors who were slaves. Because race is, well, never simple. What the fuck is that? But rather works as an ambionic, amoebic identity formation that changes throughout history. It's a social construction deeply entangled with the definitions of class, gender, sexuality, and so on. This guy, whoever wrote this, is an intellectual dodo.
It's a
woman. That's a dodo statement.
Yeah.
That's a statement where you're just not being honest about something and you're trying to be massively politically correct despite of the preponderance of information.
And you don't follow sports. If you wrote that, you don't know what's going on in major sports.
Do you think it's a black woman or a white woman who wrote that?
White woman.
Yeah.
You think
absolutely.
So?
I think so.
She's so afraid of political incorrectness.
Yes. Okay. Just like the white woman that gets offended at every for everybody else at the show.
Yes. Yeah.
Oh, the righteous indignation.
That was racist, what you said.
Isn't that fascinating?
How dare you say
that to you. Yes. About like whatever it could be
white
a Mexican
woman.
Joke.
Ding ding ding, we got a winner.
Of course it is.
Liberal.
Yep. Say that about like a Mexican joke, and there'll be a Mexican guy like high fiving you about. He's like, "That's just true," and she's like, "That is not acceptable."
The
like,
white people are the racial police for everybody else,
right?
Don't you know.
Yeah. Well, there's a lot of white. I mean, white guilt is as real as fuck.
Yes.
The white guilt is so real. And
totally.
The need to get brownie points from black people is so huge. And
totally
from other fellow
too.
Progressives.
And I want to say...
I totally... I love black approval. Like when a black person... Tom and I always talk about how good we feel when like a black person's like, "You're really funny." You're like, "Oh my God, I'm really funny."
Yeah, but that's not meaning that you distort reality
in the form
of journalism to try to like...
Negative.
Like what that woman said in that article, like the way she's saying it, it's like... That's such a nonsense statement.
I'm not sure I even understand her anything. I don't even want to.
How does
understand.
It rear its ugly head, first of all? Saying someone because of slavery is fucking awesome at athletics. Last time I checked, being awesome at athletics is really good.
Yeah.
Correct.
Like,
yes.
And there have been, for sure, some horrible things that have happened. Like, for instance, my people, Sicilians. Mm. If you look at that whole movie True Romance, I mean, that was the whole scene where Christopher Walken and what the fuck is his name?
The dad.
God damn it.
I know, the dad, he goes, "Your great-great-grandmother."
The guy from Easy Rider.
Yes, whose name I
Hopkins,
remember.
Dennis Hopper.
That whole eggplant discussion. It's true, the
it's
Moors raped all the people.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
That's why my people are savages. It's why they have dark hair. That's why they...
But I think it's people's inability to grasp reality and the brutality of shit that's actually happened. It's because it's associated with something ugly. Slavery was an ugly practice.
For
and
sure.
People are so terrified of it.
Right. People, you're connecting something awesome, but coming from something ugly with being a part of that ugly thing.
Right.
And that accusing someone of being awesome because of that somehow or another diminishes their accomplishments. But scientifically and statistically, when you're looking at, again, 1/10 of the population is black, but 90% of the sprinters are black. I mean, that
maybe more.
Maybe more.
That's one where they just completely dominate.
How about football players?
Football is probably like 65-70%.
That's pretty high.
And basketball basketball is probably 85-90%.
And boxing. There's Mexicans and there's a few Filipinos. Couple Russians. And there's a couple Russians and this scattered white guy that fucking didn't have a good dad.
Yeah.
But other than that, it's a lot of black people. I mean, it's a really dumb thing to pretend that that's not the case.
Black people in the United States have stopped playing. There's a lot less interest in the black culture for playing baseball, but not in Latin America. And guess what? Fucking black Latinos.
Yeah.
Incredibly dominant baseball players, because that's the major sport.
Sure.
Soccer. I mean, a ton of black people that are Brazilian.
Pele, bitch.
Oh, my God.
Come on, son.
Dominate that shit.
How about MMA fighters from Brazil? There's a shitload of black MMA fighters from Brazil.
Yep.
Are excellent.
Even golf.
Yeah, there's that one.
Hello.
That one guy's
pretty
good.
The one guy dominates that whole thing, right?
Yeah, that one guy's not doing so good anymore.
Yeah, he's not. Right? But he's still.
Just got crushed by the media.
He's still.
Yes, he did.
Racked his confidence.
Wasn't that the best? Badass. We were just talking about
the best.
How
you liked
crazy
it?
That scandal was. I did, because at the time I was a writer on Chelsea Lately, so it was like
it was a windfall.
Yeah, it was like that's manna funny. From the tabloid gods. But it was so crazy that the guy, the nerdy golf player, was pulling so much puss.
I honestly think they all are.
Yes, probably.
Yeah. I think they're men.
Well,
they're men.
Yeah.
They're rich, famous,
rich,
athletes.
So rich. Yeah,
those guys are so baller. The amount of money that those big time pro golfers make, even a person that is doing well can't relate to the amount of money that Tiger Woods has made. Tiger Woods has like made $1 billion off knocking a ball into a hole in the dirt.
Yeah,
like I don't think anybody can ever understand the appeal of $1 million on a bimbo.
Yeah,
you know.
Yeah,
right.
A billion.
All right. Isn't
off the charts.
Off the charts.
A guy who makes billions knocking ball and just likes to sling dick.
That's so great.
Yeah.
I described it, I said that he looked like a really unfortunate looking but wildly successful man who was attacked by sluts.
Right.
If sluts were fleas, he would need a collar.
Oh yeah.
God.
And I'm not slut shaming, by
the
way.
No.
No, that but was just, very pro-sex of you.
They should be able to do whatever they want to do.
But
everybody
just
be able to,
as a story.
It's a bad word, maybe. Slut. Slut. Take it away.
You know what, though? I'm kind of
free girl.
I'm kind of opposed to gold digging, though. I feel like
opposed
it's,
to it.
I don't like it. As a woman, I want us to be better. I'd like us to be contributors to society. I'd like us to win Nobel Prizes. And not take rich guys' money for sex.
There's a lot of men out there that are taking someone's money too. There's gold diggers that are men. I know gold diggers that are men that have wives that are rich and famous. They don't do
disproportionate,
shit. Not famous, rather, but rich and successful, I should say.
Yeah.
Yeah, it is disproportionate. But weak people are weak people everywhere you go. There's always someone who wants someone to take care of them. The sons of rich men are oftentimes just as bad as a gold digger. Like having no desire to achieve or perform anything, a delusional perception of reality, you know, a delusional idea of what their own value is because they don't really contribute. They just were given a free ride, so they never developed a character.
And an unbelievably privileged, like a really nice free ride where they feel very entitled to everything.
Well, much like when I said, you know, that you can't ever say that comics can't have a successful relationship because you guys can do it. You can never say that. You can't say that there's always going to be a group of people in any gender, whether it's transgender, whether it's gay. There's always going to be a group of people that just fail. There's going to be a group of women that fail, a group of men that fail. There's going to be people that just don't get their shit together, don't ever self-actualize, don't ever pursue their dreams, don't ever get involved with anything they truly love. It's going to happen. But there's always going to be people that do. There always have been. From Amelia Earhart to, you know, fill in the blank. You know, all throughout history. There's always been women that have figured out a way to achieve and do things that they really, truly enjoyed doing.
Like our flight attendant.
Oh, no. Stop now.
The hijacker.
I heard about
hijacked. We got hijacked for the longest time I've ever been hijacked as an adult.
Oh, no.
Tommy and I were having a fun little conversation. Yeah. And we ordered a little glass of wine because we're gentlemen and we're on a business trip. We decided to have a little wine. And we're sitting there, and the woman came over and she made a joke about the temperature of the wine. And I made the mistake of going, is it like you're apologizing that it's too cold? That's funny. I've never heard anybody apologize that wine is too cold. She goes, oh, well, if you remember the scene from Sideways, yeah, I've never really been much into wine. The only time I drink wine is in church, but there's a funny thing about wine. I knew a guy, and the guy was a wine connoisseur, and they brought him a bottle of wine and said, should we put this in the refrigerator? He screamed, don't you touch it and put it in the refrigerator. Don't you put a hand on that wine and bring it in there. I thought it was so funny, but of course I don't drink. The only time I drink is in church. And it went on and on and on.
Yes.
To the point where I was lucky because I was in the window. So I just abandoned Tommy. I lifted up the window and I put my face to the glass. And then I reached into my laptop bag and I pulled out my notepad and I started writing down. And I wrote in my notepad. That flight attendant won't shut the fuck up.
Yeah.
I wrote that in my notepad.
I started writing it in front of her, too.
And then Tommy did you?
Yes. Well, first of all, when she came over, she goes, do you want something to drink? I said, yeah. Do you have Pinot Noir? Which is not that crazy to say. Right. Sometimes they go, no, we have cab.
Stewardess. Yeah. That won't shut the fuck up.
Yeah.
Oh, that's great.
I was like, this has to be addressed.
When I said, do you have Pinot Noir? She goes, excuse me? And I go, Pinot Noir. She goes, do you think you're in Lyon, France?
Yeah.
And I was like, no.
It's not even fancy.
It's not. Yeah, it's not crazy. And she was like, we got red or white. And I was like, all right, red. And then when she came back, it was Sideways. It was the sommelier at Macy's, who, when I worked at the hospital, they brought him the wine. And he said, should I chill this? And he was like,
we're talking about the most, like, boring sentences.
Yes. Oh, yeah.
These were incredibly boring sentences.
The worst. So we're just like, oh, God. When she left.
And you're trapped.
When she left, and we go, like, what the fuck was that? She left. She came back, and I just made eye. Like, I just looked up. She goes, did you ever see the movie Simon? And I was like, She was like, my favorite scene in that is a wine scene. And I was like, all right, she goes, and this is when I zoned out. She was like, Bruce Willis and whatever actor. And she was like, and they knock over it, all the wine fall. I thought it was a great scene. And I was like,
she wouldn't stop.
Yeah.
And you know what's really fascinating? Painful. Before this happened, Tommy nailed her personality. Because we may or may not have had before we got on that plane. And so we were, it was just starting to kick in mid-flight. And he goes, you know what I think? I think that they put her on this small plane because she can't work well with others.
Oh, right.
And that the other stewardesses don't like working with her, so they stick her on these small planes because she doesn't want to be around anybody. She's probably been doing this a long time, and they know she doesn't work well with others. And then she came over and just right away gave us the ferocious ear beating. And I was like, he's right.
Yes, it was an ear beating.
Was also, she gave us an ear beating on shutting off the phones too. Like everything
held
was
up her phone.
Yeah,
I mean, this button,
and we didn't have our phones on. It's not like we were resisting. Yeah. We shut our phones off, but she did it for the whole thing. Like, this is what I want you to do.
Right.
You see this button? I want you to press this button. Not in airplane mode, folks. Mm. Not in airplane mode. I want you to shut this button. If you have an iPhone, I want you to slide that over that says shut it off. And I mean, she's going on and on and on. It's taking a long ass time.
Yeah.
And if you wanted to read a book or if you wanted to, you know, listen to your iPod, that's not happening. No, you're dealing with this nonsense.
Yeah.
You're dealing with and you can't even fight against that nonsense because if you argue at all about anything, they kick you off the plane.
Yep.
She's got the power.
It's over.
I had a friend get kicked off the plane because he was upset that they didn't find a seat for his son next to him. Like, they didn't find anybody that was willing to move. It was an hour and a half flight from San Francisco to Seattle. It's a quick-ass flight. And they, you know, he said, is it possible? She was like, sir, we've tried. There's nothing we could do. He goes, I have a five-year-old, though. Mm-hmm. Like, why did you guys sell me a ticket? I told you who's 5 years old. You can't have a five-year-old sit by himself. Mm-hmm. He's terrified of flying in the first place. Like, all I'm asking is someone, if you ask if someone could switch seats. And she said, sir, I've tried. There's nothing we can do. Please take your seat. And he was like, you guys are the most unfamily-friendly airline. Like, you guys are horrible. I can't believe you're doing this. So that's all he says. He goes and sits down, and the fucking captain comes up to him. Mm-hmm. Says, sir, you're going to have to come off the plane. They say you're aggressive and you're – and he was like, what? He goes, you must be joking. He goes, all I asked is if they could find a seat for my son. I didn't use profanity. I didn't raise my voice. I said, yeah. You guys are the most unfamily-friendly airline that I've ever seen. Mm. That's all I said, because you weren't even willing to, like, look for someone. And they kicked him off the
plane.
Gotta
get off, yep.
And he was like, I can't believe this. He goes, I'm not aggressive. But we saw that. Was it you and I that saw that?
Crazy.
Who did we see? Were we on a plane? We saw two guys arguing about the bin.
I don't know.
You with me on that one?
I don't think I've seen two people kicked off planes.
Might have been Ari.
I've seen a lady get kicked off for having attitude about like her whole day. She was like, and then you put me later on this shit, and now I'm here, and fucking that. And she was just complaining. And, you know, she was, I think, aggressive speaking to them. Boom, boot. And I saw one who got kicked her whole family off. And she had small children. She was breastfeeding one of them. And they were like, we're going to taxi now, and you need to. You know,
why'd she get kicked off?
She gave the lady attitude about the flight attendant attitude when the flight attendant asked her. I don't know if she asked her to stop breastfeeding while we were going to taxi.
Oh, come on.
But she told her, like, you know, why don't you just worry about the drinks while I'm breastfeeding? And they were like, uh-uh. And then we stopped. And they actually, that one, they had police come out. To the we didn't even go back. The police came out. They opened the door.
So you think they just get off on the power?
Absolutely. Yes. I think sometimes they absolutely want to protect themselves, and they have to. Yeah. You know, you can't have somebody who's an actual threat to the flight.
Yeah.
But I think there's definitely a thrill in knowing that if somebody gives you kind of a little jab, kind of a little attitude, you can be like, I could fuck up your day right now.
Yeah.
Pretty badly, too. And I can justify it.
And we were talking about that this ability to hijack you is kind of the same thing.
Mm.
Because in a normal scenario, you don't have to listen to this person. You're not stuck in a chair, literally strapped in with a fucking belt.
Yeah.
But you have to listen.
Right.
Like, it's, and then they can just hover over you and just shit in your face.
Yeah.
Bah.
Pop your headphones on and your hood and your glasses. That's why.
Yeah, but you can't do that in the middle of a conversation when you're having a conversation with another guy and then you're having a wine and then all of a sudden, boom, you're stuck.
Hijacked. The glasses. I don't know if you remember. The glasses were these. They're like tasting glasses. They weren't
very small.
Very small. And the first time, I had two sips and it was empty. Mm-hmm. And she goes, do you want a refill? And I go, yeah. She goes, we had a couple of drinkers up here. And I was like,
that's so
it's kind of like, you know, I can see a certain person, not me personally, but I could see that comment really setting somebody off. The outside implication of like,
what
we got a couple of drunks.
I don't want to say any more than that. No, no need to say any more than we already said. We already got too cruel.
But don't
poor
you
lady,
think
she's lonely. She wants to talk to people.
That's it.
Jesus
and,
Christ.
And it's also because
you've
had
assholes.
That's okay.
You're an asshole.
I know.
An asshole.
I feel all right about it.
But don't you think it's an inability to read social cues?
Yes. Yeah. Oh, there's no doubt.
She has
no doubt.
Zero ability.
She wasn't good at it. Or she didn't care. She just wanted to talk.
Yeah.
You know, who knows? You know, a lot of people, by the way, are a little pilled up, and they don't even know that you don't want them to talk to you. Like, there's some, everything's going to be okay, folks. There's a few of those people that are antidepressant to fuck up.
Yes.
Super duper common. If you look at the number of prescriptions sold, the number of antidepressant prescriptions that are sold in this country every year, it's staggering. I believe it's like 30 million people. Let's see how many people are on antidepressants. Let's just guess. I'm saying it's about 30 million.
Yeah, I think. Remember that book, Prozac Nation? Was that in the 90s? That's when they started it.
It's exploded.
And like everyone was on Prozac.
It's exploded.
Then,
it's such a huge industry.
I know a handful of people.
I have a friend on Prozac.
Yeah. So
good guy, too. Great guy. Astounding increase in antidepressant use by Americans. A Harvard University study. Harvard Health Publications from Harvard Medical School.
Or you could just smoke weed, right?
People 12 and over increased by almost 400%.
Mm.
Wow. Between 1988 to 1994 and then from 2005 to 2008. That's incredible. Holy shit.
Yeah.
23% of all people on antidepressants are women in their 40s and 50s.
Mm-hmm.
Excuse me. 23% of women in their 40s and 50s are on antidepressants.
That's menopause time.
One in four.
Though.
Yeah.
But that makes sense.
3%. Holy shit.
Saying you're going through the change of life. Yeah.
A higher percentage than any other group by age or sex. Just stop and think about that. 23% of women in their 40s and 50s are on a pill that keeps them happy.
Statistically, there's a really good chance that our flight attendant is one of those people.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying.
Yeah.
That's what I'm saying. Look, I had a friend that was on it, and one of the things he said to me was that when he was on it, nothing bothered him. He was on Zoloft, and he's like, nothing bothers me. Nothing can faze me. Nothing. Everything's fine. Nothing bothers me.
Yeah.
And those kind of people, they don't see things coming. They don't see, so they're not aware that they're being weird.
Mm-hmm. I wonder what it would be interesting. Obviously, it won't happen. But to hear what her version of that dialogue would be. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like,
you go,
like, it's also kind of
like, it was great. Talk to all those guys.
So much fun. These two guys drinking wine. We had a great conversation.
They love me. They love my fucking anecdotes about sideways.
I tell you, I told them the sideways story, and never seen two guys have a better time on a flight.
I mean, they were pretty. They were pretty into the fucking bottle, you know.
One of them had two drinks. The other one had about five, maybe a total of 4 ounces.
They were really little glasses,
sipping glass
of wine.
Yeah. Okay, we got a couple of drunks in the fourth
round. I don't know if that was what was going on, if she was on antidepressants, but I do know that she wasn't good at reading shit.
No.
Negative, no.
Isn't that, you meet people like that all the time.
Yes, I'm related to a few.
But the question is, should she have to completely revamp her life, get her shit together, change her diet, start exercising, start taking care of her health, start applying different philosophies to her life at X years of age, you know, an advanced age? Or should she just take a fucking pill? What makes her happier?
Right.
Exactly. Yes.
I don't know.
Definitely.
Life does not. It's not. Doesn't live forever.
There's definitely an easier path and a seems like a little more resistance in another path.
That other path seems like a pain in the dick.
Yeah.
Be honest with you.
Take one of these.
Boop. Less than a third of Americans who are taking a single antidepressant, as opposed to two or more, have seen a mental health professional in the past year.
Mm-hmm.
Some people are just taking the pills.
Yeah,
I'm fine.
That's scary without any kind of supervision.
I'm a mental health professional.
Yes,
and as are you. You guys provide mental health relief in the form of comedy.
Mm-hmm. That's true.
I'm a mental health professional from now on.
I feel good about
it. I've never done them, but I hear...
I think we're distributors of mental health.
For sure, yeah. But I hear it can be helpful, like, if you're going through some really depressing time, just to kind of allow you to get some distance to get clarity on the issue. I mean, I've never...
Oh, like a pill can help you?
Yeah, like, let's say something really tragic, like your spouse dies, and you can't even go on. I guess it helps to give you some kind of perspective.
Well, you know what's one of the best for that? Bless you.
Yeah.
You know what the best is? Ecstasy.
Yes.
MDMA is incredible for that.
For grief?
Yep.
Really?
For grief, for post-traumatic stress.
I didn't know that.
Yeah. For people with PTSD, for people who have been victimized, for people who have had horrible things happen to them, they say it's an almost immediate and really like fulfilled relief. Like it's not just a temporary relief. It's a relief where you gain perspective on maybe had a terrible breakup and you take ecstasy. And whatever reason, it allows you to see things in a different way where you forgive.
That's
and
interesting.
Wow.
It's
one of the big.
I had no idea.
Yeah, it's supposed to be amazing for that. It's supposed to be amazing for stress, too, for soldiers and shit.
Yeah.
Soldiers coming back from the war with PTSD.
Yeah,
that's a huge problem. Duncan, you know, put it in perspective first. He goes, you think about how many people are over there that are experiencing things that no one here is seeing.
Mm-hmm.
And then they're going to come here and then they're going to try to integrate in society and get some shitty fucking job.
How?
And try to forget everything they did.
Yeah.
Try to forget all the killing.
Dude, I went to Afghanistan for 2 weeks, like a couple of years ago. And just in 2 weeks, being a spectator to a war, just being a tourist in all of it was so, you saw me when I came back. I was like shell-shocked. I sat on my shrink's couch like bawling.
Wow.
So you tour the hospitals. And you see little 8-year-old boys who fell into a fire and they're burned. Or you see 20-year-old kids who stepped on IEDs and they lose their limbs or their faces are blown off. It's terrible.
Yeah.
It's really crazy. And I saw a fraction of it. You know what I mean?
So
imagine if you're there doing a tour.
Yeah, you're doing it day after day.
Oh, my God.
Years.
Yeah, I mean,
bananas.
War tour, not like a tour of performing.
Well, that's why when that guy went over and he was suffering from PTSD and they wound up just murdering a bunch of people and killed a bunch of civilians. And they were like, this guy had been crying for help. Like, this isn't like this guy had been talking about his PTSD, trying to get out of the army. And they sent him over there again.
Yeah.
And he just cracked. I mean, literally reached a point where he cracked.
And you can only see so much brutality, so much before you lose your perspective. You lose humanity.
We don't take care of that enough.
Yeah, and I'm not excusing what he did by any stretch of the imagination. But what I'm saying is when something like that happens, you got to wonder, like, what makes a person capable of doing that? If they didn't do it before, were they a psycho going in? Yeah. Or do you make them a psycho? Mm. Does their experiences make them a psycho? Does the lack of feeling make them want to do something that shocks them?
Mm-hmm.
I mean, do they get to the point where they see so much killing and they've killed so many people that they're not even aware what's real or what's not? And how medicated are they? Are they medicated? Do we even know?
But that's your job, to kill people.
Yeah.
That's the crazy part, is they're like, here, you're getting a paycheck to kill people.
Yeah.
That's a hard thing to wrap your head around as a civilian.
Yeah.
U.S. soldiers, right? Here we go.
Oh, my life.
U.S. soldiers are dangerously over. This is in this article, Natural News. Is that a real website? U.S. soldiers dangerously over medicated with antipsychotic drugs. Yeah.
Hmm.
So apparently there's a lot of them that they have like real issues with war, and they give them Prozac.
You need somebody. You need to put people in there that I'm saying, like, it's not for everybody, you know. Like, I think that you should almost, there should almost be a clause where, like, you can go and be like, I can't do this, and they should let you.
This is NBC News. Heavily armed and medicated. That's it's on fucking Newsweek or NBC News rather. Wow.
Yeah, those guys, I feel bad for them.
You should get a card. Like, you get into the military and you go, this isn't for me. Like,
yeah, you should be able to.
I don't.
But it's not, here's the deal. It's not for anybody.
It's not for anybody, but there's some
people.
You know
what it is for? It's for psychos and people who think that it's something that it's not.
Exactly.
And then when they get over there, they realize, oh, I'm not defending my country. I'm working for this brutal company that doesn't give a fuck about any people.
Yeah.
It's comprised of people, and yet it doesn't care about people.
Mm-hmm.
It just cares about siphoning out money and distributing it to a few people that will never be over here killing people. That's the weirdest thing of all. When you look at the amount of money that gets siphoned out of war and then injected into the bank accounts of people that don't kill anybody, don't risk any life, don't risk their health for a second.
Right.
And they're living like fucking bankers. They're living like gangsters. They're you know, if you look at the people that are making the most money out of war, I mean, it's quite shocking the amount of money that you can extract and never have to kill anybody.
Yeah. That's why there'll always be wars forever and ever and ever.
I don't know about that, man. I don't know about that.
I think it's like, you know, you look at those pharmaceutical statistics and you realize that industry, that lobby is too powerful and it's too strong for it to get defeated. That's why those pills will be around. There'll be new pills. There'll be new drugs.
Mm-hmm.
War is such a profitable device that I don't think you could. I mean, idealistically, obviously, you don't want there to be wars, but I just don't. I think that there's too much to be gained, unfortunately.
I wonder.
America, definitely.
Definitely.
Country, definitely.
Definitely. Yeah. For sure?
Yeah. Yeah.
So you think there's no way to fix it?
Well, we're so into it. We're so enmeshed.
Right, but
it.
How come we can fix it? How about if we ran the world? If the world consisted of everybody in this room, I'm pretty sure no one's going to kill anybody. You know, you might get mad at Brian if he fucking takes a picture of penis over your forehead while you're sleeping or something, but
Brian would be the one that would get attacked the first, I think.
Yeah, he'd get attacked first, but I don't think we'd kill him.
No,
I wouldn't murder him. No, I would just relegate him to some kind of job where he had no authority.
Sex slave.
If he wasn't
sex
hunting,
worker. Yeah. No hunting for Brian.
If he wasn't bringing in his food, and he was eating all your food. You'd get a little annoyed.
Yeah.
It's like, Brian, you haven't killed one rabbit. I try.
I sold my I sold my butthole.
Partying.
I was at Olive Garden with my butthole.
Joe, I see in your future, would you start a society, like a compound, where everybody hunts their own food and grows their own food?
Well, then they're going to come and get you. Nobody wants anybody to be self-sustaining inside this country.
Who's gonna get the government will shut
it down?
They'll
Waco you. They'll come and Waco you.
Yeah, that's so true. I forgot about that part.
You could have a community, but they would infiltrate it.
What about
the
like
government would infiltrate it, and then they find someone who's selling mushrooms to someone, and then they'd come in
shut
and bust
down.
It.
Yeah.
They don't. The idea of someone gaining a stronghold on a group of people with a different ideology, a non-supportive ideology of the thing that's running the country right now, they're not down for that.
Very true.
It's just natural. It's natural to try to fight that off.
Hmm. Oh, sidebar. Have you seen? Sorry, because I had a thought. I was driving to Downey like ages ago. And there was a billboard for the Marines, and it was like, Mexican traditions. Be a good Mexican. Be a Marine. And you're like, whoa, this is so evil.
Hispanic, I think it said, right?
Well, you know, I read Mexican. and I'm like, wow, that is really sneaky. That's how you appeal to a poor young dude, right? Like, to live up to this ideal of manhood, of perceived.
Well, those commercials, they all appeal to your sense of wanting to be a great, impactful person, to be an adventurer, to be, you know, something, to be a warrior, to be someone who's noble.
When they're that,
stand there and slide that sword in.
Yeah, it looks great, though, to an 18-year-old boy, when you'd be like, fuck yeah, I want
it's great to a 45-year-old man.
Yeah.
Who's just smart enough to realize why it looks great.
Yeah. When you see the propaganda, though, that's so guided towards a group that's not you, is when you realize how much there's propaganda.
Yeah.
You know? Like, you don't see it as propaganda when you see it as an ad. You're like, oh, this is a thing. But then when it's so, like, geared toward another group, you know, like that banking commercial we saw.
Oh, my God, that was ridiculous.
The girl comes home with her check, and she's, like, speaking Spanish and English, you know, and it's like, this is just so to, like, you know, appeal to the Spanish-speaking. But it's like, it's such a, it's, you know, she's just
speaks
like.
Spanish and English?
Right. Like, she gets home and she's like, Mina, I got my first check. And then.
No way.
Yeah. And they're like, ay, qué linda. She's so happy. And then she's look at my check. And she's like, ah, mira, lo está tomando. She like takes a picture. She's taking a photo of her check. She's like, no, I'm making a deposit. And it's just like a Spanish English conversation.
And they eat tacos. And
they're like making.
They go to the bank.
Yeah. So they're like, just in case some white people really love Mexicans, we'll throw a few English words in here.
Yeah. Yeah. And it's just like.
You fucking apes.
Totally.
Silly white people. This is not for you.
Supposed to this is really supposed to be effective to the person who's Latino, who's like, I don't trust banks. And they're like, this bank's pretty cool.
So it's just for a bank?
Yeah, it's a major bank, you know. So
why's the bank giving you money?
What's
the bank's giving you a check in the commercial?
No, the girl's come home she's got her first paycheck.
Right.
And so she's just like, I got my first paycheck.
Oh, so she wants to put it in that bank.
Right.
Because it's the smart one.
Yeah.
It's the one that's going to take care of your money.
Right. Yep.
I say.
Come on, take care of your shit, yo.
Put your shit in the bank.
Come on, don't be sued.
You got to save your money. Don't be a fool.
Hey, man, what's calculus?
Yeah, you ever go to a neighborhood where all the signs are a different language?
We lived in
a couple.
Where'd you live?
K-Town.
K-Town, and then we lived in basically Little El Salvador, which is just adjacent.
You guys were in the hood for a while, huh?
MacArthur Park.
Bang. We were in a real shithole when we got married. We were so broke when
you heard bang bangs?
Tommy, tell Joe your famous bang bang what you were doing.
Bang one was like 2 in the afternoon. I'm sitting on our living room couch, which is basically you could just look right into MacArthur Park. I'm sitting on the couch, pants down, jerking off to porn on my laptop, and I just hear like, cup. Boom! And I just like fucking jump on the ground. Like I jump on the ground, full boner. Like what? Like am I in trouble? Like it's so terrifying to be in that thought process and hear that loud. And I pull my pants up, and the first thing I do, you're not home, so I call Jose, he doesn't fucking listen to the show. Jose is the building, you know,
he doesn't work
manager.
Anywhere,
yeah,
anymore now.
So I call him. And he's like, what's up? And I go, dude, what the fuck was that? And he goes, what was what? And I go, you didn't hear that shit? And he goes, no. I go, it sounded like it was on my fucking, like, back, like, on my balcony. Nah, I'm in the garage, man. And I was like, all right. And I'm like, this is unbelievable. And then 2 minutes go by. My phone rings. And he's like, hey, yeah, man. I just talked to somebody. Some dude just got shot on the street out in front. That's what you heard. And then they shut down every fucking possible entrance to our street. And what happened was a guy went up to another guy 2 in the afternoon, broad daylight, and put a 45, right? Like pulled it out, shot him in the chest.
Random?
It was a gang thing. Oh. And then didn't even run. He just waited there.
Waited
for the cops.
To get arrested?
I guess, yeah. There was a lot of gang shit in that neighborhood.
Yeah,
why did they wait? Did they want to go back to jail?
I don't know. That part wasn't explained to me. But the shooting was like that, you know, the whole thing was that I think he was a marked guy. Like he had done something and they were like, this is retaliation.
Ooh, living in a gang neighborhood is not cool.
No. What's neat, though, is that LAPD installed these sound devices where they'd put them up on the light post or somewhere, and they could actually track exactly where the bullet was shot from within a 5-mile radius. So, mm-hmm. That was kind of cool. They'd come
in. 5-mile radius?
Yeah, I think it's that.
That seems pretty big.
That's huge.
Well, I'm telling you. Yeah, look it up. I may be off on the anyway, they could detect exactly where the bullet was coming from, apparently, in our neighborhood.
One of our last nights was a celebratory night where we were on
the
roof.
Holy shit, man.
And it was a couple days after LAPD had – there was a drunk guy on 6th Street mm-hmm. who was wielding a knife. And they lit him up. They shot him like fucking, I forget, it was like 13 or 22 times, like something crazy for this drunk guy with a knife. So they, El Salvadoran neighborhood, marched towards the Rampart Division police headquarters. And it was bananas. So we're standing on the roof of our building, and no shit, there's like 20 police helicopters. Like, usually there was one or two a night, every night. But, like, when you see 20, you're like, this is martial law. Like, it was that neighborhood that night was unlike anything I've ever seen.
Yeah.
Wow.
They shot him for no reason.
They didn't shoot him for no reason.
He had a knife, but he was drunk.
He was, I know.
He was like, fucking.
What are you supposed to do? Give him a book?
Yeah.
Give him a book, teach him how to act, right?
Show him how to wash his ass with his hand.
But I think.
No, it was. It's crazy. Yeah. I mean, the whole thing was that it's obviously excessive force, but
they're just happy to use their guns.
Yeah, they're excited.
Yes. A reason to do it. Some asshole's got a knife. Let's light this dude
up. Just light him up.
He's got a family.
2 miles.
Kristen. 2 miles. All right.
2 miles.
Three miles.
Powerful,
that's
Brian.
Still doing
some research.
Powerful.
Pretty big, man.
Yeah, that's not good. No. Brian Callen was on his street, and his neighbor couldn't drive his car. Couldn't figure out why his car couldn't start, so he got his car towed, and they found a bullet in the engine block.
What?
And there was a shootout on his street, and a stray bullet slammed into his engine.
Jesus.
Yeah, that's when Brian was like, okie dokie, time to move.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And then a park where he used to take his daughter to play, a guy shot a guy there.
Cool.
And I'm like, okay, fuck Venice.
Great.
Venice is great, though. That's what sucks about Venice. It's like, it has all of that, but it's also great. Cool mm-hmm. restaurants and
super cool.
Cool little art places. It's a funky. I saw a poetry slam there once. Not
I'm
that
sorry.
Great.
I'm sorry. It's not the great. Worst.
Have you been to the Tasting Kitchen there? In Venice?
No, I don't know what that is.
A restaurant.
Oh, no. I've never been there.
Wait, unreal. Let's
poetry
play this.
Slams.
What do you like less? Poetry slams or musicals?
Poetry slams.
Okay.
Because at least musicals, somebody likes them.
Right.
You're pretending. So you remember when they have deaf poetry jam?
Oh, yeah.
Yes! That was so awful.
I stand, white man, in front of you, unconquered, on top of the universe. Is my soul eternal? Shall I reach a point, a pinnacle, in my existence here, in your white-dominated world?
Yeah. Pow!
Can
pow.
I, will I, do I, shall I?
Yeah, that shit suck, man.
That's what that should have.
There was a time with men like me did not have access to books or knowledge, but now I thrive. Yeah.
There should be in deaf poetry slam, there should be a black guy in the fucking in the rafters with a mic who just gets to, after everyone goes, your shit was whack too, man. Yeah. Like, just shits on everybody.
You know what's way worse than black guys in deaf poetry jams?
White guys?
White guys in deaf poetry jams. White guys Ooh. Trying to be black doing that.
Yes.
Rough.
Here's the problem with those things. The art form itself is incredibly unsatisfying. Mm-hmm. Like, all you're doing is saying things, and you're trying to be profound. The only time anybody ever wants to hear anything, like, really profound like that is from someone who is an accomplished person.
Mm-hmm. Right.
Like, if Russell Simmons went up and gave a poetry slam about succeeding in business,
right.
then you would want to see, like, starting your own business.
You're like,
and.
What?
Yeah,
awesome.
That's Russell Simmons, and it's got some poignancy to mm-hmm. it. But when you're some self-indulgent fucking mm-hmm. dickwad, mm-hmm. and you're just talking nonsense mm-hmm. and you string
those
together
were
all, a bunch
they
of
were just so bad, too.
Stupid words.
So bad.
Shit.
And we already told you, you're good at sports. Just keep playing sports.
What about the white people that are doing it?
Run faster.
Yeah. Oh, here, are we going to see?
Is this
here's a white guy.
Yeah.
Oh, please. Oh,
it's George Watsky.
What's up, George? Don't be mean to George.
Poor George. We're about to... crucify him right now. Oh, Christ. It's embarrassing.
White guy doing it.
He's got a golf shirt
They're
on,
super
too.
Super friendly, though. Cause he's not like, I'm going to be funny.
So this is for those among us who got enough play through 12th grade to carry in an upside down teaspoon. For every kid with the collective romantic prowess of Steve Urkel, Richard Simmons, and Screech from Saved by the Bell, this is the anthem for those among us who got none in our formative years. And this poem is for every high school virgin who wouldn't have had it any other way. You don't know the possibilities of a weekend until you've cracked a four-pack of Juice Squeeze with your boys, bumped B.I.G.'s Big Papa, and watched an entire Star Trek The Next Generation marathon. For me, Virgin was working, and I can see why Trekkies greet
Please
each other.
Stop this.
Stop this. I feel for that boy.
You know what I would tell that boy?
First, there's a bunch of things you got to tell him. Yes. First of all, your breathing heavy has to stop.
The deliveries, yeah.
The Quentin Tarantino vibe should have stopped too.
And he's definitely not going to get laid after this.
Right. Well, this is this thing that they do where they're in front of black people. They act black.
Yeah, there's black
change
diction.
The way he talks.
Yeah. Yes.
Change the way he talks. And it wasn't this. It wasn't full bore, but it was pretty obvious.
Oprah does that too.
She should have just thrown in a few more. You know what I'm saying? So it would definitely have been super black.
You know what I'm saying? That would be
then
so great.
4 juice boxes. You know what I'm saying?
You know what I'm saying?
But that thing that they do, what I'm going to tell you, there's a way I got to breathe. That deaf slam, stupid fucking breathing thing in between your overly contrived delivery.
It's so contrived.
A fine one where it's a girl talking about like an ex-boyfriend. I like those. Pap, bow, my heart is broken on the floor. He said, and you're like, oh.
No more.
Sister,
don't put another one on. I can't
it's
take it.
It's horrible.
I know.
It's an awful art form.
It is.
We should just stop talking about something else.
Because it's like stand-up with no punchlines delivered by a guy who sucks at stand-up.
Right.
Yeah. That's what it's like.
It's like
I'm so
mic.
Excited. For the amount of hate we will collectively receive for this thing.
So it's going to be brutal.
Deaf poetry slam.
Do you have any poems, Joe? Do you have any old poems that you wrote?
No.
How dare you rip on the deaf poetry slam?
The streets would all be cleaner. I don't forget how it worked. If I only had a gun. I wrote something.
That's a good one.
It was really terrible. Was
I just think they're misguided, those
16
people.
16 when I wrote it.
Which ones?
The people doing that, I feel like you should tell them, you know what? You want to perform. And that's right. Cool. This thing that you're doing, the whole thing sucks. So just get into a different art form.
Right.
Like, you chose the shitty thing.
You know what it's like? It's like racing unicycles.
Right.
Look, unicycles are fucking stupid.
This is lame.
And racing them is even dumber.
Right.
Because they don't work right. They're terrible.
Get on a bike.
The only reason anybody rides a unicycle is because they're a fucking attention whore.
Yeah. Right.
Look at me. The wheel's this big and there's only one of them, dude.
With the guy.
with a parrot on. That guy we saw the other day.
Yeah. The parrot.
The exotic animal guy?
Yeah, just fucking walking around. Sweat shorts and a 6X shirt.
We talked about this guy for 5 minutes. We looked at him out the window. We couldn't stop because we were inside a car so we could abuse him without him hearing it.
Of course.
We just shat upon him for at least 5 minutes.
On his lonely stroll that you know he does just for people to go, that guy's got a fucking bird.
Snake people are like that.
Snake people do that.
Yeah.
How about people with ferrets?
Oh, yeah.
My ferret's on a leash.
Yeah.
Yo, remember that guy in Miami who had the big lizard on his
shoulder? Of course, same thing.
But now that guy was smart because he was like, oh, you like this lizard? It's $20 to take a picture with
it. Right, of course.
Like,
which he...
That's
a
good racket.
$20 to take a picture with it?
He hoses... But see, he picked South Beach... He picked a place where there's all these tourists, and they're like, this is some shit you would never see anywhere. This is a
Honey,
guy.
We came from Wisconsin. We saw a guy, you're not going to believe this, with a lizard on his shoulder.
Yeah,
he
might have been the craziest thing I've ever seen.
We couldn't believe it.
You should have came with us.
And he thought he walked around like it was a dog. He didn't care.
A lizard on your shoulder.
White people.
Walking down the street.
Silly white people.
A boom, pow! Starting my pee.
Those are the kind of white people that you would target if you wanted to start a cult, too.
Exactly.
The type of white people.
Yes.
Bring it all back to Scientology.
Yes.
Those people, if you gave them a Dianetics book and started getting their email address and sending them some shit, send them some pamphlets.
Yeah.
White people.
Clearwater, Florida.
Wow.
You ever go down there? So that's
no.
A Scientology stronghold. My folks used to live there.
That's
live in Clearwater.
That's headquarters.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, that's world headquarters.
Yeah, yeah, that's the spot where they all decided. It's the perfect level of intelligence. Like the average is way higher there of people that you can trick.
Mm.
You know, I'm sure there's very smart people in Clearwater, Florida,
yeah.
But there's also a lot of like serious dummies.
Yeah,
mm-hmm.
You can get them.
That's where the charlatans go, right?
You can get them. It's near Tampa, which has a lot of, we talked about that, a lot of swingers.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, my God, yeah. There was a club in Ocala that no longer exists that was run by swingers. A
lot of swingers.
Yeah.
We that go to part jacuzzi. Of Florida. Hey, yeah. What the hell? Come on, want to watch my wife and me fuck?
Yeah.
No. I'll pass.
I was with Ari once, and we had a guy who drove us in Nashville, and he seemed like the most straight-laced guy until the last day. And the last day, as he's driving us to the airport, he starts talking about swinging. Mm. He starts talking about the rules that he, like, he goes, next time you come here, you know, I'll take you to a swinging club. And Ari and I were like, huh? What? I'm like, what are you talking about? And so then he starts telling us about the rules that they have. Mm. Like, well, you know, we have rules. If I don't, I'm not comfortable about it, she doesn't go with the guy. And, you know, if she's not comfortable about it, I don't go with a girl. Or sometimes we watch each other, but most of the time I don't like watching.
Man, that's a lot.
Would you ever share Christina with a...
Oh, we already do.
Oh, yeah, cuckolding?
Cuckold.
Cuckold.
Tom loves it. Cuckolding. Cuckolding. Cuckolding.
Where's that word? Where's that originate from?
Shakespeare, yeah.
Shakespeare?
Is it?
I'm sure. It sounds like an old-timey English
word. It does sound old-timey, but I don't know if it is. Like, it's
like I bet you... It's like I bet you, like, codpiece and cuckolding is Shakespeare.
Okay. Cuckold in the Wikipedia. Okay. Historically, it's historical. Historically referred to a husband with an adulterous wife and still often used with this meaning. In evolutionary biology, the term cuckold is applied to males who are unwittingly investing parental effort in offsprings that are not genetically their own. Wow, that's deep.
Wow.
Mm. So if you're a stepfather, you're a cuckold. Since the 1990s, the term has been wildly used to refer to a sexual fetish in which the fetishist is stimulated by their committed partner choosing to have sex with someone else. Mm. Mm-hmm. So for some men, they get their rocks off that way, but the original verb, the original description of it, I guess it could be a verb as well, right? Cuckolding, if you're in the middle of it, you're cuckolding.
Sure. Would you ever do that?
Never. Okay, first appeared in 1250. Look at this.
1250.
1250 in a satirical and polemical poem, The Owl and the Nightingale. Wow.
There you go.
The term was clearly regarded as an embarrassingly direct, as evident, evident in John Lydgate's The Fall of the Princess in 1440. Oh. The late 14th century, the term also appeared in Geoffrey Chaucer's Miller's Tale. That's interesting. Shakespeare's poetry often referenced cuckolds.
Ding, ding, ding.
You nailed it.
Winner, winner.
You're smart. Why are you married to him?
Thank you.
Is that how you guys get along? Because you're so smart.
Give me my reward.
Is that why we're? Is that why we get along? You're smart.
It's her boobs.
Totally, it's my.
Do 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 do
do. Do it when I speak. Do you just hear like?
Like chimp squeaks, yeah.
Yeah.
Wow. There's other words for it. There's cuckold in Bulgarian.
Oh.
In Bulgarian, it's I tried. It doesn't even have English words or letters, so I don't know what the fuck. How do you say this? P-O-R-C-H-O-C-H-E and the number 4. You know, it's like a lowercase 4.
Mm.
It says, literally one who wears horns. One who wears horns and the act of being unfaithful is called C, the number 5.
Jeez,
A-R. Carnipora, literally to attach horns. Mm. Vietnamese is Bai Cam Sung. Bai Cam Sung. Get attached to it. It's all horn. It's all the word horn.
More pressure.
Pressure?
More pressure. What's that?
Massage.
More pressure.
More pressure.
Which area?
You're too strong.
You're very strong. You like pressure.
They have in Greek. It's a totally different language. It's impossible. K, number 3, backwards. P-A-T... A letter that doesn't exist, meaning the horned one. Yeah. Wow. So,
no cuckold.
What is that? What is that fucking fetish guys would
to
want?
To be shamed, I'm assuming.
I have a friend.
To like shame.
Who went to a party and a man made his wife blow him.
Hmm.
Like the man watched and was giving instruction on how to blow him.
Wow.
Jeez Louise.
Your friend was the one who did this?
My friend was sitting outside on a porch at a party. And this woman was blowing him while the husband was sitting next to the woman giving directions.
Wow.
That's so crazy.
Yeah, I was like, whoa, dude.
That's so intense because I feel as though that might violate some trust with my, like, I
wait a minute.
I love you. I don't want you to do that with me.
Well, I don't think it's just that. I mean, it was weird for my friend who was a single guy to get head from some guy's wife while the guy is saying, rub his balls, rub his balls.
Oh, my like he's life.
Giving, wow. He's giving him direction, like, cradle his balls, work the shaft, work the shaft. Is he going to come? Is he going to come? Take it in your mouth. Take it in your mouth.
Oh, my God.
The whole deal.
Yeah, there's freaks.
Come in your mouth. Come in your mouth. And the guy, my friend was like, oh, my God. What? He goes, it started out, like, ridiculous. And he goes, but then, like, when the guy was, like, giving instruction, he goes, it just got really gay and weird. And it was all off.
Yeah.
The guy was liking it.
Of course.
Yeah. That's the whole payoff,
that's the payoff for him. That's why he does it.
He likes his wife sucking a cock.
Wow. Yeah.
Right in front of him.
Yeah.
Well, I guess it's like that forbidden thing. It's like we were talking about at the beginning about porn. Mm. The gagging and two dicks in the ass. Like,
yeah.
It's forbidden. You
right,
know?
The
and
taboo.
This like, you would never teach your wife how to suck a cock in front of you, oh would you? God. Yeah, I would. I'm going to fucking tell her she's going to suck a cock, and I'm going to tell her what to do.
Yeah.
I'm going to tell this bitch what to do. You sucked her cock. Look at that. Roll those balls. Oh, roll those balls, you dirty bitch.
I would laugh so hard if you did that.
Could you imagine?
I wouldn't be able to do it. Could like, oh, yeah?
Could you just imagine what the fuck that would be like?
No. No.
Jesus.
No. No.
But there's people like way crazier shit.
There's a bond between husband and wife.
No,
not
with this cuckold group.
Not with the cuckolds.
Or swingers. No.
But, you know, you've seen, because I'm sure you've been, like, I've had couples, they're always never attractive, come up to you and they're like, what's up? Like, we're going to go out and have a good time. Do you want to join us? And you feel that, like, you know, that invitation from them, like, come out with us. It'll be a great time. We're going to hit this crazy club and, like, check out my wife's tits. And, like, you know, they're putting it out there. Like, you know, you can come party with us.
You know, I've been we've been together now for almost 8 years. And the thought of being naked with somebody different is so crazy to me. Now.
You haven't seen Brian naked.
Yes, she has.
You don't want that?
Imagine that.
How dare you? How dare you turn your back on that? Wonderful opportunity.
Hey, Joe, can I ask you a would you rather?
Mm-hmm.
We came up with a
Please.
New one in the car.
Okay. Yeah, that's okay. A good one.
This one's just for you, okay?
Okay.
Would you rather, for an entire year, all you can eat is hot dogs from 7-Eleven and Gatorade?
Okay.
That's one option, or...
Wait, and you can't...
Oh, and you cannot exercise, but you must eat hot dogs and Gatorade. Or the other option... No, or you can't eat, or you can't exercise. That's it.
Right.
So either you're not allowed to exercise, but you can eat what you want... Or the other one is eating hot dogs and Gatorade, but you can still exercise.
That's a good question.
Thank you.
So, here's the thing you have to consider, right?
I think I would have to go with the no exercise.
No exercise and eat whatever
you want.
Yeah. Wow. Yeah, I would eat healthy, not exercise. But I would do things that would be like exercise. I'd be like, well, I'm going to just work in a fucking sandbag yard now.
Oh, right.
I would say, hey, man, can I work here for 4 hours a week? And then 4 days a week,
that's crafty.
I would come in for an hour labor. And just work for like $10 an hour throwing sandbags around. I would just do it really gangster.
Okay, what? Let's revise this. What if you're just, you can't do that?
That's what I would do, though. I would,
you can't.
I would be too smart for you.
You
I would just take
yogurt.
A job. I would take a hard labor job.
You have to lay in bed.
You would do all the exercise that you want with your hot dogs and Gatorade every day.
Yeah.
Every meal is hot dogs.
You need more. Your body would break down.
How shitty.
Yeah, your body would break down. You would have a real issue. If you were just eating hot dogs and Gatorade and trying to exercise, you wouldn't have the nutrients to sustain any sort of a strenuous exercise.
Can someone please make a exercise video of just hot dogs and Gatorade? Do you know why?
We'd probably die of scurvy.
We did this because one of our friends stayed at our house one time for like 3 days, and he ate just hot dogs and Gatorade.
Listen, man, ever since I cut gluten out of my diet, I miss pasta, but they have great gluten-free pasta. You know what I really fucking miss? A hot dog with a bun, steamy bun with some mustard and sauerkraut. Yeah. I miss that gummy, shitty bun.
Bratwurst.
So yeah. I miss Italian bread, too. Bratwurst you can still eat. You just can't eat I eat bratwurst. I just don't eat the bun. But the hot dogs,
now,
I miss that.
Explain this to me. What is this gluten-free? So that means what component?
I don't eat any bread. I don't eat pasta. I don't eat anything that has flour in it. I've been doing it for about 4 months.
Oh, good.
Maybe five months. What I've noticed like right away when I first started doing it is how when I have meals, after meals, I'm not tired anymore. Like, I used to get tired. I would eat a meal, I'd be like, oh. Mm-hmm. I would hit that fucking lawn dart of just, like, exhaustion. Now I can eat a giant steak, and I never get there. Mm-hmm. I never get there. Mm-hmm. I can eat potatoes, and I never get there. There's something about gluten, about eating pasta. It never did anything bad to me. Like, I don't have celiac disease. It was not something that made me fat. But when I quit eating pasta and bread, I definitely lost body fat, like, quickly. I noticed it on my face. Like, my face was, like, less puffy. My ring started to fit in my finger different, slid, and I weigh almost the same. Like, I'm, like, maybe I lost a few pounds, like, 3 or 4 pounds or something like that. But it seems like whatever the puffiness was, it's, like, my puffiness number went down. Because I was eating pasta and bread every meal.
Jesus.
Oh,
I love it.
There you go.
Is there gluten-free bread?
Yes.
Okay.
It's terrible. It's just like fucking cardboard. Actually, Udi's has some pretty decent gluten-free bread. But it's just simply not as good as gluten bread. It's just not. Because regular bread, you know, you take regular bread and you mush it and turn it into a ball.
Yeah.
And that ball becomes
Wonder
like
bread.
Like it's
Hawaiian
paste.
Bread.
Yeah, it's like eating gum.
And there's no nutritional value in that bread.
No,
that's the problem.
Nothing.
It's just
nothing.
Sugar. Doesn't it convert to sugar in your body or something? Yeah.
Tastes awesome. Your body doesn't want it at all.
No.
Your body doesn't like it. Your body doesn't perform as good. When I started doing it, when I quit it, my endurance went up. My body started feeling better. My back started feeling better. Like, that's the advice that I got from a physical therapist. She told me that she has great results in people with back injuries, telling them to quit gluten. That the decreased inflammation of gluten actually decreases the size of their bulging discs. I was like, that is fucking nuts. She's like, well, it makes sense because it, like, knee injuries, like, a lot of times, like, the swelling and the inflammation of knee injuries, you can reduce that as well.
Yeah, I can see that.
Fucking gluten.
Don't they tell you just eat fruits and vegetables and meats anyways? Like, keep it lean that way?
You shouldn't even eat that much fruit. You should limit the amount of fruit, unless, except, like, after working out is good, or while you're working out, in the middle of doing things where you're burning off a lot of calories, fruit's good. But you should definitely limit the amount of juice you drink. Because when you drink fruit juice,
terrible,
it's like straight sugar.
Yes, I agree.
It doesn't have fiber in it. You know, when you eat an apple, you're getting fiber. Mm-hmm. You eat an orange, you're getting fiber, and you're getting sweet.
That's why you should just drink Gatorade, like, all day, every day.
Hot dogs.
Well, what would you do? What you guys do? Would you take the no exercise, or
would you
take Gatorade and hot dogs?
I can't, because I'm very particular with eating. I actually do watch what I eat. And I couldn't eat any, because you feel like shit when you eat hot dogs and Gatorade. You feel awful.
Yeah. It's not good.
No. And you can get by without exercising if you watch your diet properly.
Yeah, I think so.
Yeah, I can't. I can't eat like shit.
You could definitely get away with being okay, you know?
Yeah, not fantastic, but at least you can keep your weight down somewhat. I don't know. The older I get, the harder it is to eat like shit. I can't even do it now.
Well, plus, I enjoy eating. That's another part of the problem.
Yeah.
I like good food. I like food that tastes good.
Yeah.
Hot dogs and fucking... It would drive me nuts after a while.
It would make you crazy.
All right, this podcast is basically over. I want you guys to subscribe to Your Mom's House. It's on iTunes. It's fucking hilarious. It's Tom and Christina's podcast. And they can find you guys online. Do you guys have a podcast website?
YourMom'sHousePodcast.com.
TomSegura.com.
TomSegura.com.
ChristinaComedy.com.
It's Christina. No, you don't know Bozitsky, huh? You don't trust people.
Negative.
You're too fucking stupid.
Yeah.
And upcoming dates. You guys got any upcoming
dates? Yes. Big one.
Hold on.
November 1st and 2nd, I'm running my hour in LA Flappers in Burbank. And you can go to my site and get it, TomSegura.com. My special is November 9th in Minneapolis. You can get free tickets at TomSegura.com.
Free!
Christina and I are doing Your Mom's House live November 22nd at the Ice House and December 5th in San Diego at the American Comedy Company.
Good googly moogly.
Yeah, I like that.
Yes.
I'm in San Diego this weekend at the Madhouse Comedy Club, October 25th through 27th, and then in Hartford at the Funny Bone, November 14th through 17th.
Boom. Sweet Jesus. This podcast was brought to you by Squarespace. Use the code Joe and the number 10, one word, Joe 10. Save 10% off your first purchase on new accounts. That's squarespace.com, the number Joe 10. We're also brought to you by stamps.com for your super awesome, extra sweet deal. Use the code word JRE and get your $110 bonus offer, which includes a digital scale and up to $55 of free postage. We're also brought to you by Onnit.com. That's O-N-N-I-T. Use the code name Rogan and save 10% off any of the supplements. We'll be back tomorrow with the one and only Eddie Bravo to break down this past weekend's UFC that Tommy Buns was ringside for.
Unbelievable. Tune in for that shit. Those fights were incredible.
It's the greatest night of fights in the history
incredible.
Of the world.
Incredible. Diego Sanchez fight was
incredible.
Incredible. And the main event, Dos Santos Velasquez, was just mind-blowing.
Crazy shit. All right. We love you guys, and we'll see you tomorrow. Big kiss. Mwah.
Ciao.